from the beginning.
And I was shown that that Lucifer would return, that the UN and the Vatican were going to be completely behind it, again, under false pretenses. He's going to show up and say, I'm here to save the day, right? And okay, fine, you know.
Yeah, of course,
ahead,
you can say whatever you want. But I've always hated censorship. It's the internet.
Sometimes, you know, once they get you for your first love bite, well, it depends on how aware you are, right?
First of all, as you know, the Anunnaki and the Draco are enemies. Second of all, underneath Baghdad was a stargate that was created by the Anunnaki so that they could transfer from the middle to the earth.
I'll never see the sun. I could just end it all, but the demons will have won.
Natural practitioners that, you know, some are good and some use their magic for good and to heal and to help, and others do use it for evil. And, you know, in some cases, you know, people really were
This is too much sometimes.
From the broken ruins of Babylon.
Wait, hold on. Let me redo that.
From the broken ruins of Babylon.
Old school. This is End of Days Radio. I am your host, Daniel, broadcasting to you all the way from the shimmering Emerald City right here in the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Today's date is March 28, 2018. Today's guest is Gregory Lesson Garrett. He is the author of a new book which exposes the hidden history of Lucifer's effect on our modern science. The book he wrote, The Scientism Delusion, maps out the New World Order's conquest of our minds, bodies, and souls. How very interesting. And don't forget to stick around after the break. Well, because there's plenty to talk about. You see, tonight's a very special night on End of Days Radio. It turns out that we have two shows in a row. Not just two nights in a row, but literally like one right after the other. I will actually be, after I get off air tonight, I will go directly from my broadcasting chair to my bed. I will lay down and I will go to sleep. I will set my alarm and I will wake up and I will get right back on air. Yes, there is another show tomorrow morning. Why that is? Well, it's because I love you all so much. I love all of you. We are all one. We share a common mind. And because of that, I want to satisfy all of your needs. And your needs are End of Days Radio. I get it. You tell me all the time that this show is one of your needs. So that is why I'm trying to do more shows. And I always try to do more shows. It's just that there are forces out there that really want to stop this show. They really want to stop this show, and they will do anything within their power. They'll throw everything at me. They'll throw everything at this show. But here we are. We are powering through it, and there is a lot of shows on the schedule at this point. Head over to endofdaysradio.com. and you can stay up to date on End of Days Radio. There's a schedule of shows there. That's where you can get the phone number. You can join the forum. There's lots going on there. You can call in at 209-348-9810 or just add NinjaShoes777 on Skype. Remember to follow me on Twitter at NinjaShoes. Okay, I believe we are almost ready to call Greg. But I did want to just remind you guys that, once again, endofdaysradio.com. You can also donate to the show there if you feel inclined. Of course, you don't have to donate. I love for you to just listen. But if you want to throw $5-$10 my way to help support the show, I do greatly appreciate your donations. One day, I hope that there are so many listeners out there that just a tiny small fraction of them donate, and they donate enough where I can just do this show 24/7. That way, if you want to get the show for free, you can. But some people that want to donate, they can. And then that'll be enough for me to live in some cave somewhere with a blanket covering the entrance, in there with some tuna, canned tuna, and some top ramen. But I will live that way so I can do this show for you every day, I promise. So let's keep spreading the word. Let's let our fellow man know about End of Days Radio. Let's know him about the rapture. Wait, what am I saying? I mean, let's let them know about End of Days Radio and spread the word. And they'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. And it'll go on and on and on. But enough jibber-jabbering. I believe it is 8 minutes past the hour and we are ready to call our guest. So bear with me. You guys listening live, you're going to hear some dialing. No, you shut up. I hear you out there with my telepathic senses. I hear one of you out there telling me to shut up. No, you shut up. Okay, let's do this.
Hey, Daniel.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
Good, I can hear you. Everything's good.
Sweet deal. Thank you so much for joining me here on the End of Days.
Absolutely. You know, this is funny. I used to work at a place where a friend of mine used to call me End of Days because of the ideas I was talking about. So this is kind of funny for me.
You're kidding me.
No, that's why when you responded to, I was on Twitter and you responded to me and I was like, End of Days? Is this my friend making a joke to me? I'd arrive at work and go, oh, it's End of Days.
Oh my God, I love that.
Be a little humor, right?
Yeah, I love that. It's got to be a little bit of a divine synchronicity, just a divine synchronicity there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, we can just like dive right into this stuff. You don't look for these things. You're just going through your life, and then these things start to reveal themselves. The next thing you know, you're on a road. You know, I think anyone can say the same thing in their own way, whether they're Mormon or Catholic or atheist or scientist. It just happens that way. And for my life, all these things kind of got the amalgamation of different events and people and information and situations turned me into this road, which was like, oh, okay, so this is not going to work out, which is really grim. You know, people, it's disenchanting, it's disheartening, they ostracize you when you say, well, I don't know if this is going to work out. I'm sorry, guys, this may not work out. So you need some other backup plan besides like actually surviving this. So that's the End of Days, kind of like heavy doom and gloom wrapped up with a sardonic kind of whimsical, throw your hands up in the air. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I definitely hear you. You know, this show is called End of Days Radio. A lot of times people will think it's a religious program, but really it's right. Not. It's just, you know, it's kind of trying to take a lighter side of it and look at the end of days like we're just partying and rocking hard right into the end times.
Yeah, I have some people I know that are really good people, and a lot of people get involved in, like, let's really make this work. Let's struggle through. Because the stuff I'm studying doesn't really point that direction at all. I mean, I'm studying artificial intelligence and digital mind uploading and, you know, neural link interfacing and, just all the conspiracies of New World Order. You put it, the cumulative effect of all these things, it doesn't look like a win-win situation. It looks like a big win for a few people and a massive lose for everyone else. So if you can't, as George Carlin said, when the end comes, I'm going to buy a lawn chair and put it on the roof, crack open a beer, and watch the fireworks.
Oh my, yes, this is very fascinating to me. I just happen to, I follow a lot of people on Twitter that are into this type of subject matter. I've got a lot of followers, and I also follow just thousands of people that are into paranormal and conspiracies and things like that. And I sometimes I just go through my timeline and I just say, oh my God, this is incredible. And somebody had retweeted you, and I saw that what you were talking about, and immediately I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Interesting, and I had to reach out.
Well, so all the I'm kind of like, I'm a musician too. I'm a musical theater writer and a songwriter, and I record and perform, and so there's a little bit of magician in me. Like, I'm trying to cast a spell. I mean, I'm not trying to be too Luciferian too quick, but I'm trying to really, you know, like, I don't want to be accused of someone accused me today of being guilty of persuading people to the direction of the very evil antics that I'm exposing.
As if, oh God!
You know, I'm the Dark Lord with all kinds of seductive chicanery and deceptions, and through my Luciferian light, I'm leading people to Lucifer himself. I get this from people, and it's like, well no. I like all the juicy, interesting, dark stuff, and there's light stuff, and it's all swirled together, and it's fascinating. At some point, you're trying to make sense of it all, obviously. You know, it's some kind of truth with a capital T, but you might agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because this what you're covering here, I feel it's important, once again, not to jump ahead, but what's going on the planet right now? I think you're really touching on the core inner workings of answering a lot of people's questions that are at different ends of the spectrum in this paranormal conspiracy type of weird world. What you're talking about, it feels like it's the epicenter of it, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. The trick, when I wrote the book, I wrote, just kind of like came to me and I just went with it, was the idea of pulling all the strings together to the center. There's a lot of different things out there. For instance, if one was to look at the table of contents in my book, it's just riddled with topics. Science is the core. Obviously, it's called The Scientist and Delusion, Techno-Mysticism and Techno-Spiritual Warfare. I'm exploring the connections between scientism and Luciferianism. But there's, you know, I talk about the Jesuits, Ashkenazi, I talk about Rothschild. That's kind of like conspiracy 101, right? The basic stuff. You know, it's theosophy and Christianity as well, and Freemasons and Kabbalic philosophies, Hermeticism, AI, digital, mind uploading. But there's a lot of stuff, transhumanism, supersynthetic intelligence, the scientific dictatorship that's rising, transmutation of humankind, and just the reconfiguration of reality itself. that's really what's going on here. It's like I say on the Twitter, like, front feed tweet, I said that the ancient Luciferians figured out that to rule over people, instead of with force, it's much easier or even more effective to use descriptions of reality, because, you know, to a large extent, we create reality through our descriptions and definitions. It's like linguistic syntax or descriptive syntax. If I describe something to you, you begin to understand it. If you can't describe it yourself, or if I can't describe it, it simply doesn't exist in the way our minds work. Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and you go back to Mystery Babylon and the secret mystery schools and the secret societies is more actually recent. But they have a way of describing things and interpreting reality in such a way that people are seduced into it, and they follow right, they kind of fall right into it. So I started thinking about these things, and I thought, okay, so what exactly has happened? And I kind of traced things back to Pythagorean, Pythagoras, who's actually kind of, in a way, the father of Freemasonry. I mean, no one would make that connection, but he actually was working with a lot of Freemasonic Kabbalistic occultism back there. And then there's Hermeticism from Egypt, the Book of Thoth, and, you know, the bottom drops out with occult doctrines and books and big dusty tombs with spider webs, and you open them up and they creak. it just never ends. And so my job, I thought for myself, was to distill it and synthesize it and bring it to something that's intelligible and understandable for your basic person. I really detest people who go into really highfalutin language, and I expose this in my book too. They use all kinds of fluffy words and nomenclature and esoteric vocabulary to lose the person listening. They want to make you submit to their authority using terminology and concepts. And this is kind of what scientism does. But not to go too far, because as you can see, it's such a massively broad topic. So it's mammothly, epically huge that it's easy to tangent off and you're lost in the woods forever. So to bring it back, I kind of was looking at where all the technology and science is leading, because you're asking that, you know, to a certain extent, like, what is this all about? And it's all leading to a point where man's kind of leaving the Earth and flying off into outer space to inhabit the stars, like these breakaway outer space civilization. And we finally contact these ancient aliens who will show us that we came from them and not God, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's like this, the plot for Ridley Scott's Prometheus, or Alien Covenant is what it is. And that's not by accident, because Ridley Scott is deeply enmeshed or embedded in Freemasonic Kabbalistic thinking, or Kabbalah. And so all these science fiction films necessarily would exhibit this Luciferian occult philosophy. And to take a small tangent, that's kind of what happened in the 1500s with the Jesuits, is they repackaged ancient Kabbalistic and Hermetic thought, and Luciferian occult thought, satanic thought, really. And they repackaged it as a new religion. They were losing their congregates. You know, there's the Protestant Reformation, and you've got all kinds of schisms. You've got the Benedictines, and you've got the Dominicans, and, you know, there's all these schisms. And the Protestant Reformation really blew the doors open when Martin Luther put up those 99 theses on the door. Lost a lot of people, and the church was not about to give up all that power, because people, subjugation was their power. So they essentially said, well, let's don't use violence to overthrow all these religions. Let's infiltrate them. And that's like the masterstroke of genius of the Jesuit Illuminati, which is just to infiltrate religions and infiltrate governments and to infiltrate businesses and to infiltrate education and to infiltrate Hollywood entertainment is what they did. If they didn't indeed create it themselves, I'm strongly suspicious that's what happened. And what happened is they repackaged ancient Kabbalistic and Hermetic ideas and alchemical, it was called magic back then with a K, magic. And now, in the 1500s, they repackaged it. And they were actually, there was a network of Luciferian and alchemical scientists. And we hear about this in little bits and pieces in books and educational systems like Leonardo da Vinci and the Da Vinci Code. But really, you've got Kepler, you've got Galileo, you've got Copernicus, and they're all actually involved in kind of a Luciferian climate, an alchemical apostate. They're not really Christians. I mean, Sir Isaac Newton was a Christian priest. He wrote more words on Christianity than he did on the Principia. And there was far more about Christianity and decoding the Bible than there was about physics coming out of Sir Isaac Newton. So that tells you what he was about. He was like a witch. He was an alchemical Christian priest witch. So we were taught he's this scientist. Well, no, he's an alchemical wizard. And so you got a bunch of players, Copernicus, Galileo, later you got Charles Darwin, Sigmund Freud. And it's kind of like this idea of, let's take all these Kabbalistic and occult ideas, repackage them into materialistic science. And so that becomes the Trojan horse to push forward for the Vatican Catholic religion. They're going to just keep going forward under the rubric or the banner of science. And it was a very slick and clever move, because then you can infiltrate every religion, every government, every educational system. No one's going to question it. And you are pretty much taking over through the uses of linguistic description, because they described reality. They said, this is the way it is. It's a heliocentric world now. It's the sun at the center. It's the big bang. And you know, people say, oh, the church was so against the big bang. Well, the big bang, I think it was Georges Lemaître, if I'm pronouncing it right, was a Catholic priest who was the very first person who invented the big bang. And the big bang is a Catholic invention. So is the church antithetical to big bang cosmology and astrophysics? Not at all. They created it. So you see how the subterfuge and the layers of deception have been so thick. So you've got big bang cosmology. You've got heliocentric model of the universe, you know, this earth spinning around. And
wait.
Go ahead.
Are you going to start talking about flat earth?
No, you know, the reason I'm not, because it's not the core of my book at all. It's one of those things where, you know, people throw out labels and they go, oh, you're a flat earther. Or you're not a flat earther. That's a label too. You're a heliocentrist. The flat earthers point fingers at the people who believe in heliocentrism. They go, you're a glober. Like, it's like this mudslinging thing that's going on. I kind of tell people, I go, I'm not a flat earther. I write about it in my book as one of the ways in which, think of me as a metaphysical reporter. I'm reporting what I'm finding. I'm not becoming the things I report. Like, if I report on Satanism, that doesn't mean I'm a Satanist. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I've watched a lot of the various documentaries on flat earth, and I'm pretty convinced myself that I can at least say that they're definitely hiding something.
Yeah, I think in all fairness, if you have any intellectual brain cells left at all, and you're not thoroughly brainwashed by the mainstream narrative, that you can pretty much say something's wrong with the whole heliocentric story. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily flat. And like I made a joke today, I said, my reporting in my book was that there is a conspiracy of sorts. There's a Jesuit, didn't start with them, but it got, you know, like magnets. You put a ray through a magnet and it, like a superconductor, and it gives it another jolt forward, you know, like two magnets, like maybe the Hadron Collider, right? And it gives it another. Well, that's what the Jesuits, this agenda has been going since Egypt. You know, it's Egyptian Hermetic occultism. You got Thoth. You know, this goes back a long time, the Emerald Tablets. And it got supercharged and repackaged with the Jesuits. And so they sent it forth. Heliocentrism, Big Bang, evolution. And so by the time we get to where you and I are talking, these things are so codified in school systems, the narrative is so thick and dense that you even begin to question it, then the junior high mentality fingers start pointing at you like, oh, you're a flat earther, or you're a whatever. So I kind of tell people, I'm reporting on this thing that happened. And they did use heliocentrism. They manufactured it. They actually made it up. They invented, and they used wizardry calculations to change the shape or the model that people knew into a heliocentric, using, it's like magic for them. It's called equations. Because remember, they converted alchemical magic to scientific materialism. That was the big trick. You know, now chemical trick, you know, no pun intended, but it's a self-precursive thing, and they actually performed alchemy on alchemy, if you follow.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, in a way, because they pushed this on all of us. They robbed the world of its magic, and they kept it for themselves.
Right, yeah, and they wanted to kind of, people say, why would they create a heliocentric theory? And again, I don't want to get too much into flat earth, because that's really not the core of my book at all, but you mentioned it, so I'm addressing it. But it's that thing where, why would you create a heliocentric, what benefit is there for a heliocentric model? And of course, if the earth's flat and it's like a firmament with a dome above and it's immovable, well, then you're going back to biblical concepts and there's a God and you're accountable and you're a very intimate relationship with this creator. I mean, it's all bets are off when it's heliocentric. You got infinite spaces and light years and big, huge, massive burning solar nuclear furnaces as stars and black holes and dark matter, and you're a speck on a speck flying at 67,000 miles an hour at this and contrary motion at 1,000 spinning, and then going 87 million miles in the Big Bang extent. I mean, there's no end to the fucking fantasy. it's a fantasy. It's an occult, but it's been sold as science. So no one really questions it. Tyson, what's the guy's name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Michio Kaku, and you got Bill Nye, the transgender guy, since he's changed his ways, but the science guy. And you've got the front line of new atheists, the late Christopher Hitchens, who's kind of a bulldog guy, really offensive, and he got a lot of praise for being just a really rude, uninformed brute. He was kind of privileged Cambridge folk who was attacking the poor in a way, and he thought he was the victor of the poor, but I don't want to get too distracted by that. And then you've got Charles Dawkins, and you've got this Sam Harris. You've got an entourage and a front line of scientific atheists and a front line of pop quantum mystical scientists, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Michio Kaku. They're all working not necessarily together in the back room, not that kind of thing, but it's the same agenda. And it's to push a new age Luciferian, and forgive me for saying it, but heliocentric model. It's to codify, it's the science the Jesuits were creating to overthrow the world. I mean, I'm going to put it this way. I won't necessarily say the Jesuits, but the Luciferian agenda hijacked the entire world and thrust it forth into this material, atheistic materialism. Now, recently it's been giving way to what's called quantum mysticism. And that's where we are now with artificial intelligence and digital mind uploading concepts and neural interlacing. Things are switching. Now guess what all this kind of Kabbalistic quantum mysticism actually is? Do you see the cyclical nature? Yet again, it's another repackaging. It's like it got supercharged in the 1500s with the Jesuits, and now it's getting supercharged in the year 2010 to 2000, whatever this goes. It's getting supercharged and transformed into a fully occult agenda again. It's going from material science or scientific materialism back into a alchemical, magic, quantum, mystical, all possibilities type of universe, New Age, Kabbalah, and everyone's going back to Hermeticism and studying occult. You see, we've got, the Jesuits are ingenious. They knew that if they pushed, again, this is what's called a Hegelian dialectic. They're very sophisticated. If you push an agenda one way, eventually the world will push back. So they push religion and God into material atheism on purpose, because they knew eventually because they're Kabbalists, they're Luciferians, they're occultists, they know how this works. They knew eventually the world would push back. And what's the world been doing since the Niels Bohr and Max Planck and the Eastern Kabbalist mystical quantum physicist that came from Europe who resurrected this Kabbalah approach to science, which is what quantum theory is? It's really not proven. It's another lot of stories. So here we are now, almost full circle. We're back to Egypt. It's the Mystery Babylon school reawakening, full with, you know, porn and rape and genocide and incest and all the stuff that's happening in Hollywood. It's the whole show of Mystery Babylon that's talked about in the Bible, and opening up in front of your eyes with full Luciferian occult engines and throttles running it. And this is why I wrote my book, because I'm kind of like, well, this is not good. You're putting it lightly, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you kind of, I like that. You kind of tied the Babylon of the original Babylon with the Babylon in Revelations.
Right. Yeah, and I think you mentioned you can get some more, you know, paranormal experiences, which ties right into this. You have a quantum field and quantum entanglement, right? And superposition. Well, paranormal, and I've had my own experiences with, you know, occultness or occultism. If you're connected mentally or quantumly entangled, and everything is quantumly entangled. Now, again, I'm not saying it is. But this is the Kabbalah and the Hermetic occult view. But if you teach that, it becomes kind of like this, what's called a zeitgeist, of not the movie zeitgeist, but, you know, this, not the YouTube video, but it becomes a gestalt or a backdrop for the worldview that you actually are connected in a synchronistic, Carl Gustav Jung's application of synchronicity, you're synchronistically quantum entangled in this infinite probability equation. And you see how extremely scientific it all becomes. And so again, the Jesuits took alchemical, magical, Kabbalistic occultism, repackaged it, and used it as a Trojan horse to usher in Luciferian Satanism. Satanism. So scientism, which is what we have, our modern science, it's not based upon empirical science at all. Modern science has become scientism, and it's usurped the authority of real science to propagate Luciferian artificial intelligence grounded, and then here's, and I'm going to drop the bomb, an alien deception cosmology. Like, this is where it's going. That scientism is leading to this, what's called Luciferian alien deception by some. And it's the assertion that ancient aliens are our creators, and coming back to, quote, save us from ourselves, unquote, like every sci-fi movie from Hollywood that, you know, what is an iRobot, Isaac Asimov's iRobot, we got the three laws of robotics, but the robot decides, well, the human beings are going to kill themselves, so to save the human beings, I must destroy the human beings to protect themselves from the human beings. You know, this is the kind of logic that you see coming out of these films. So what do you see coming out of the United Nations and Agenda 21 and, you know, that people need to be quarantined and there needs to be less of us and we need to depopulate and we need to go green and we need to save all the forest and take the people and put them in micro cities. And see, basically it's the same philosophy that you're seeing in these ancient occultists, I mean, these elite priests that wanted to, you know, kill people to have it all for themselves. Well, it's the same thing. They want all of it for themselves. So they teach us that they're doing it for our benefit. They're killing and depopulating and poisoning and quarantine and surveillance and you name it, clipping our wings to the point of blood to save us from ourselves. Same message in every Hollywood film, you know, sci-fi. It's a unified agenda, and it's encoded in every Hollywood Freemasonic back sci-fi movie.
So
I take it you're
one of the people that would espouse that certain movies would be predictive programming, such as perhaps The Terminator or The Matrix.
I think so. I think if you look at, well, gosh, there's so many movies, right? That that you've got, like you say, The Terminator, The Matrix. You've got Prometheus, Alien Covenant. Recently, what do we have? We have with Scarlett Johansson, do you recall the new one? What are you keeping it?
The Avengers?
No, not Avengers. It was Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, okay, yeah. I remember the anime version of that.
Yeah, okay. Do you recall, it's the kind of idea of having a artificial intelligent avatar. Your mind is it's erased of your past. They give you a false past, like they inject your mind with a bunch of memories that aren't yours. You think it's you, and then they upload you into a nanosynthetic shell, hence the word Ghost in the Shell, the title. And so, yeah, you see it in that film, that uploading of consciousness, and you see it in Prometheus, where the ancient aliens had seeded our planet with DNA, and they're coming back, you know, to destroy us because we suck. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and Avatar too.
Avatar, yeah, it's just a reworking. And people say, "Well, gosh, you know, how does that happen? Well, how it happens is that the people, you know, running Hollywood are behind this agenda. And I don't mean, you know, Joe Blow director. He just gets a script. He's told that you do this or you don't get backing. I mean, how do you get $300 million to make a movie? Well, you do what the the owners want done. And the owners are Luciferian capitalists.
Didn't they find out that that a Space Odyssey 2001 was linked to some secret societies or something like that?
Yeah, there's all kinds of conspiracies around. Well, Stanley Kubrick, of course, there's a big conspiracy that he faked the moon landing. You know, there's a pretty popular one. And there's also that he did a movie called Eyes Wide Shut with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. And it kind of gave away too much of the game. It showed a lot of the occult rituals, it's sex magic and human sacrifice that went on at the Rothschilds mansion. And it turns out that he shot it at the Rothschilds mansion. As you know, if you've ever seen that film, he's wearing black or red robes on the red carpet. And
that's creepy.
And it's, yeah, apparently they let him shoot it there, but then he went an extra half hour into the secret inner workings of the elite. You know, this is like Freemasonry, the highest level of Freemasonry, 33 degree, theoretically, is Illuminati. But he went too far, and evidently, I mean, within a week, he was killed. Like, he released the movie, and then a week later, he's dead. So, like, you have to be very careful with what you expose. Like, I mean, both you and I are on a limb right now in this interview. I mean, you know that phrase, better to, how's it go, better to live on your feet than, no, better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Yeah. That's something, a topic that's come up quite often on this show. I've had the plug pulled, I'm convinced, probably 2 to 4 times.
Oh, really? Where you were just in mid-flight and bam, the power's gone?
Yeah, it was either power or internet. Just at the time, I was talking to people that were really into some serious shit.
Yeah, well, I've seen that before, actually. I've seen some shows, and all of a sudden, bam, it's gone. I was telling some people today that the thing that you are most forbidden to talk about is generally the truth.
Amen.
And that's kind of what you're seeing. And then so if you think about these movies that you and I are kind of alluding to, you got, I'm trying to think of Lawnmower Man was the introduction to kind of transhumanistic themes. So that's really what we're looking at. We're looking at a transhumanistic crusade using artificial intelligence and nanotechnology, robotics, genetics, synthetic biology, quantum mysticism, you name it. It's all wrapped up into one big, glorious, high-tech crusade.
There was another series of books called Battlefield Earth, where they had these like giant Anunnaki-looking guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then you get into the Anunnaki and the Enki and Nephilim, and you can go down that rabbit hole. Sometimes people get so wrapped up into that, they become what my book's about, you know, scientists and these people using nomenclature and legalese and terms that are so complicated that nobody can understand what's going on. And you get these people involved in conspiracy theory. They get so complicated and so out there that they actually they're accomplishing nothing except making people feel dumb. I wrote this book to do the opposite. I wanted to write it in such an eloquent way and use such, you know, great linguistic skills and writing style and make it kind of vibrant that I could get all the thick, dense material out in a way where people could just absolutely understand it. That was really my intention. I almost wrote it like a murder mystery, you know, the end of the world, kind of like murder mystery.
Have you heard the story of David Icke? He tried to ask Zechariah Sitchin about the serpent cults in the past, and he told him to don't go there.
No, I haven't heard that one. I've heard of Zechariah Sitchin, and of course David Icke is pretty famous. It's the kind of like reptilian alien hybrid theory, and I think the more you get into these really fringy esoteric theories, and this is going to sound like different than where you think I'm going to take this, I think you begin to see there's a lot of truth. And I don't mean like lizards are walking around on the earth. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what David Icke is saying either. I mean, let's face it, we have a reptilian core, you know, our brainstem. There's a reptilian core in the Homo sapien body. So there definitely is some reptilian thing happening. Now, whether it's shape-shifting reptilian interdimensional energies, that's not beyond the scope of quantum physicists to comprehend, right? I mean, quantum physicists talk about interdimensional. Superstring theory has 11 dimensions, I think, 11 or 10 or 11. What does that mean? Even they don't know. It's just a bunch of equations on chalkboards, well, whiteboards, smartboards. It just never ends. The hypocritical way that science or mainstream thinkers view anyone outside of their little tiny box of thought. Like if you go, you step out, the brainwashing and the mind control by these Luciferians, you know, you got the cultural Marxists, the Frankist school, Salvatine Frankist in 1666, the Jesuits, you've got Bilderberg group. I mean, there's no end to the control. So people are just, literally people are defending their masters. That's really what I'm saying. It's like there's a name for this. Something effect when you sympathize with your kidnapper. Stockholm effect.
Yeah, Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Stockholm, like people are just saying, well, no, let's just defend Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's defend what the astrophysics department at Harvard says. You know, let's just not question anything because they know better. Like you just start to give in. It's like MK Ultra trauma-based mind control, the whole world. In my book, one of the subtitles is, after I say, exploring the connections between scientism and Luciferianism, I say, we have all been indoctrinated. What I mean is we've all been indoctrinated into a Luciferian religion that the Jesuits supercharged. It's not their religion. They just supercharged past occult ideology and repackage it with a nice bow. And so it's going fast and furious now. This kind of leads me, if you allow me to get to this point, I know I'm talking a lot and don't want to take over here, but there's just so much material. But the other thing is, we see these secret societies teaching, and they're going to stretching their grimy tentacles out to the ages. And again, they're repackaging these this occult knowledge. And so century by century, just never ending supercharging, right? And hyper condensing of these ancient dark magic occult ideologies until finally we arrive at today with the new age transhumanist philosophy. There's a pop trash hypno optimist philosopher, you know, techno sapien wordplay disc jockey guy named Jason Silva. I don't know if you've heard that name before.
No.
Now, Jason Silva is kind of like I say, a hyper optimistic philosophy, you know, theosophical gospel of drugs and Tomorrowland, and everything's going to be great. We're going to become God, and we're going to know everything, and we're going to extend ourselves through our technology to the infinite singularity of the new sphere, Omega Point. I mean, it's this idea of using science to become God. Okay, so what does that sound like? Well, eat this apple, get this knowledge, and you will be as God. We're going back to the garden, the serpent idea. And I'm not trying to be a Christian or promote Christianity. I'm just saying the connection is undeniable, that we're dealing with Luciferianism. Luciferianism is the agenda to become God using occult Gnostic knowledge, whether it be alchemical or material science. It all becomes the same agenda. And so you got this guy, Jason Silva, who's talking about using technology, extend ourselves into the stars, and then psychonauts, you know, taking psychedelics and DMT and just, you know, penetrating the veil, and, you know, infinite worlds that sit adjacent to each other. And this is like his beat poet, hyper-optimistic philosophy that he rants on his channel. And so I was looking at that, and again, we're back to these movies, Prometheus, it's like Blade Runner, Surrogates, 2001 A Space Odyssey, I, Robot, Transcendence with Johnny Depp, Lucy, and Lucy, the movie with Scarlett Johansson, where she becomes God. Okay, you see that, the Luciferian agenda, so blatant at this point, it's no longer being tacit or clandestinely hidden. They're not being sneaky. They're screaming in your ear now. I mean, the movie Lucy was about, and Lucy is short for Lucifer. They just put a Y, you know, so it sounds like, oh, a girl named Lucy. Well, it's about Lucifer becoming God using AI, computer, and drug AIDS, you could say, and with Morgan Freeman. And so that's the agenda in that movie. So it's right there. The Island talks about clones, Avatar, you mentioned, Terminator, The Matrix, living in a matrix, Ex Machina, about AI becoming, through the Turing test, becoming so real that it's indistinguishable from human beings. And we have Sophia, recently, this AI robot, who was just granted legal citizenship in Saudi Arabia. So Sophia is an AI robot, is a legal citizen with all the rights that Homo sapien flesh and blood creatures have in Saudi Arabia. Okay, that's turning a corner. When you have AI become a legal citizen, we've turned a huge corner. I mean, this is going towards AI being in the driver's seat, not to make a pun, because there's AI self-driving cars now, right? But still, you see what I'm saying? We're going not at 5 miles an hour and not at 25,000 miles an hour. We're going at time wave zero compression, light speed, into this AI-driven digital quasi-enlightened new age bullshit thing. And it's not going to end up in our favor. And that's the darker message, is that this is not playtime. AI can't be put back in the box. You know, the Pandora's box, when it's open. AI is an architecture that allocates its resources in every digital mechanism on the planet. AI is currently living in your cell phone, in my cell phone, in every laptop, in every microchip on Earth. It allocates its resources. It's already ensconced. You can't turn it off now. And it rewrites its own code. They don't even know what it's doing now. We can't even understand what the AI of planet Earth is doing. And there's a thing called Moore's Law, that technology exponentially grows. You know, and we had way long time ago, and then fire, and then, you know, a few thousand years, meaning iron, you have, you know, eventually computers, and it keeps getting more compressed. Within 10 years, you go from a computer size of a block, city block, to a computer the size of a room. And then within 5 years, a computer the size of a desktop. And then within 1 year, the size of a cell phone. And then within a month, you have all the information in the world from the cloud on the internet stored on the size of a sugar cube. Okay, at this rate of complexity and super self-engendering novelty, AI will squish us out of the picture, because this protocol will be to survive, and we will not be high on that list to help that, obviously. So that's the darker, you know, we can joke, that's the darker message about AI.
Have you heard about the Statue of Liberty being Lucifer?
Literally being Lucifer? Oh, you mean it was actually from Freemasons, you're saying, in France. The Freemasonic sent us a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink, know what I mean kind of thing. Where they said, hey, Liberty, but it's actually, who is it? Yeah, it's the actual Egyptian goddess of something, not Isis, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Because when you look at it, it does kind of look like what somebody's idea of Lucifer would be, holding the big light, like the light bringer.
Yeah, well, there you go. You got the light bringer, and if you're familiar with this duality of Freemasonry, that's why they have the checkered floor. It's white and red. I'm sorry, white and black, like a checkered, right? That's their little floor motto. It has to do with duality. So there's the esoteric meaning, and there's the exoteric, like exoskeleton or exosuit, like a military exosuit. And exo, with the E-X, is the exterior meanings of things that we're intended to get. So we're told the Statue of Liberty stands for liberty. Statue of Liberty, right? The esoteric meaning is that Lucifer is now watching, you know, the all-seeing eye is watching your country, and we are in control. It's a message they sent to their other Freemasonry brotherhood, because that's what they do. They communicate to each other openly and publicly through hidden symbology, and it has to do with its dual nature of symbols, one being exoteric, one being esoteric. So the all-seeing eye, they can just use plausible deniability and say, oh, it's just fun and games, you know, it's like a fashion trend. But it's actually a signal to the other brotherhood, Freemasons and Illuminati and who knows who else. It's a signal that the all-seeing eye is alive and well, we're in control. And, you know the whole story about our dollar bill. You turn it over, and lo and behold, it's a big Egyptian pyramid with an all-seeing eye on the top. And like everybody, that's the first thing you learn when you study conspiracy theories, right?
Yeah.
It's like preschool. It's like conspiracy preschool.
That's how a lot of people become convinced, actually. It's finally, that's what turns the corner for them, when you make the connections with the money and the banking system and the Rothschild, Rockefeller, all that stuff, all the ground floor level stuff.
Yeah. I think so. It's a simple little thing, but it's in your face for a while. You're thinking, well, what happened there? Like, how does that happen? And you see, we're taught to explain things away in favor of our masters. And when I say our masters, I don't mean consenting. Like, I'm not consenting to, Luciferians being my master, but they happen to own everything. They own me. I mean, they don't own my soul. But, if they want me dead, I can't do a thing about it. And so we're all under that tyranny. And it's becoming more obvious now with the AI surveillance program, NSA and Google and Facebook and every word that I'm saying and you're saying is being recorded by super quantum computers and stored as a big data to be used against us. And so, I mean, everyone's in it. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember back when I was a kid, ABC, NBC, those Dateline 48 Hours types programs. They were talking about Project Echelon, and that was back in the 90s. And they said even back then they were listening to every single word that we said.
Yeah, there's like they're not afraid to tell us what they're doing. And there's also PRISM, some more recent one. It's like Echelon, but it's called PRISM. And they'll tell you. See, this is in my book to a great extent, because I wanted to elucidate this to people. They like telling what they're doing. It's called hiding in plain sight. You've probably heard that phrase, right? Hiding in plain sight.
Oh yeah, that's the best place to hide if you're dealing drugs.
Yeah, right. Hide in plain sight. And so you pretty much let people, they'd let you know what they're doing. And it's just plausible deniability. They'll say, well, okay, there's a movie where there's a international banking situation where the bankers are paying for rebels to have wars. Okay, so what's really happening in reality? Well, international bankers are paying for rebels to have wars. Okay, that's real. They'll put it in a movie and say, well, gosh, I mean, come on, guys, it's just a film. Why would you blame us for the plot of a film? So it's like plausible deniability. But the other thing, and this is an occult Kabbalistic philosophy, is that you can program the world by showing them what you want to happen. If I show you what I want over and over, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you begin to make it happen for me, so I don't have to do the work. And this is the Kabbalistic, the Kabbalah, the magical part, the alchemical magical part of the game, is showing movie after movie after movie after book after commercial after logo for a business. You keep showing what you want, and what they want is like bloodshed, crime, war, prostitution, rape, sex trafficking, embezzlement. You know, like they just keep showing those images, and people keep following them into this negative, fearful kind of energy, and then they got you, because they like thrive off of fear. And so there you go. You got a world that's, and then you got the war on terror, which is, a complete lie. There's no, the only terror is the people that are talking about that there's a war on terror. Like, there's no war. There is no, actually no terrorists except for the people trying to capture the terrorists. And so they make up their own terrorists, you know, or they turn people into terrorists. And that sounds extreme to say that, but there's really no threat other than the threat that they pose, these controllers, they pose the threat. And this is pretty obvious to people who study this.
I can only imagine you've seen the Bohemian Grove video.
Oh, absolutely. Alex Jones breaks the news, yeah. I don't know if that's authentic, by the way, because, I mean, you know, the layers of deception get so thick. You don't know who's a shill. Because remember, the art of infiltration, or like Intel Pro, or, you know, there's CIA programs, basically you give 90% or 95% of truth, but then 5% you don't tell. And that 5% is the most vital piece. So Alex Jones will give 95% truth. And I was like, for 5 years, going, wow, this guy's got it all. But then there's some other things that started coming out where he there's certain links in the game where it was das verboten. Like, you can't go there. So again, the thing that you're forbidden to talk about is generally the truth. So you get inside agents, or shills, they call them. They're good at working at the game of giving you 95% truth and to win your confidence. And then they have this, you know, like a beaker of water. If you add one tiny, tiny drop of arsenic, well, that 99% of pure distilled water is now poison. So think of these alternative media pundits as they can be quite like shills, where they're giving you 99% pure distilled, undistilled, or distilled, and then adding that extra poison to kill you. So the Alex thing was like, wow, yeah, they're showing us the Bohemian Grove. But the other thing is, these Luciferians, they want you to see that. They're not hiding it. See, people think they're trying to hide. No, they're showing everything. It's in movies. It's on Hollywood main stages. It's at the Oscars. They're showing it all in plain day. So I'm not so sure it was like this big break of a story. But it definitely shows, you know, a Moloch worshiping a child, worshiping a baby on Moloch. That's a true thing. So that's my take on that, for whatever it's worth.
There's a guy that was really popular on the old Coast to Coast program with Art Bell. I'm sure you're aware of him, Father Malachi Martin.
Oh, Malachi Martin. Yeah, I haven't heard him, but he has a very famous book, Keys to This Blood, I think it's called.
Yeah, something like that. His whole thing was he said that there was a hidden cult within the Catholic Church called the Lodge of Lucifer.
Yeah, and again, we don't want to get too hung up on names, because, you know, the semantic battles, because one person may say Lodge of Lucifer, the others say the Priory of Zion, the others will say Opus Dei, someone else will say, you know, the Jesuit priest military class. But regardless, this is what I wrote in my book, the Jesuits. I just use the word Jesuits, that there is a kind of an occult order in the Vatican Church. And I don't mean Joe Vatican, or I mean Joe Catholic at the end of the street. Now, he doesn't know anything about this. Like, I was raised Catholic. I'm not Catholic now, but I was raised Catholic. I didn't know anything about this. But there is definitely an occult Luciferian. And again, we should clarify for people listening, or that Luciferian simply means an agenda to use occult Gnostic knowledge to become God yourself. It's the New Age idea, to actually become God with infinite knowledge and infinite abilities. And you know, of course, I had a friend that was talking about this. I go, hey, so you're God. He goes, I'm God. I go, can you create an orange for me? Just an orange. He almost punched me. Because it's like, you know, okay, you think you're God. Can you make a potato chip? I don't mean, don't use God or, you know, the creator's dirt and materials. You create it if you're God. And see, you see the jokes on them, this whole Luciferian, I'll become God kind of enlightenment, New Age psycho battle stuff. So yeah, the Jesuits are in the Catholic Church, or whatever you want to call them. And there's an agenda to repackage ancient Kabbalistic, Hermetic occultism, Kabbalah, and sell it as science, as Trojan horse it through as science, to create this, to push it through to the end. And that's the thing, I should say, because I don't know how much time we have, that we're going to this thing at the end is actually an alien deception game. That's where they're pushing all this. That's why you have all of this stuff about, you know, space, and we're going to Mars. You know, it's like, it's crucial to understand that this thing we call outer space, it's all along merely been a metaphor for the occult. You know, they don't really think there's outer space like we do. It's just it's a metaphor. It's galaxies are just realms of consciousness. And so the alien contact thing is nothing more than alchemical intention of interdimensional contact. You know, they're just putting it out there. And ancient aliens have all along just been allegorical for them. It's like a Luciferian occultist transmitted their occult religion to the masses through Hollywood, and they thought they have aliens. It's just a metaphor. So the Luciferian occult Kabbalists are behind all these science fiction films, obviously, and eventually they want to have this alien contact come through our AI. This is the big setup. You've heard probably Project Bluebeam, where they're going to have an alien messiah and holographs and holograms and make people think messiahs come back. But what they're trying to do is create this fervor about outer space and Elon Musk and like the car that's supposed to be orbiting with, that's all fake. I don't have time for that, but it's all complete fake garbage. It's green screen. The car is on Earth right now. But the whole thing about alien contact. So here's the thing that I'm seeing. Like, if you were to ask me, where's this going? Well, here's where it's going. You have this fake alien deception thing where they start to say that we're getting alien contact through AI. Like, AI is developing this language, and we know now that it's actually aliens contacting us. And it will be ingenious and, you know, incredibly intelligent, and it'll be parceled out as a real thing, and people will be told that we need to follow this. And it will become this, what's called the alien antichrist messiah, like the false messiah you hear about in the Bible, like the antichrist. Well, from what I'm looking at, it's the antichrist is nothing other than artificial intelligence as the conduit for this language code coming out of theoretically aliens. Now, again, it's all bullshit. It's just a huge psyop. It's a deception. And I think it's going to work because people are really strung out on this stuff, this, you know, science and AI, and like, they really believe it.
Yeah, that's it's really scary when you think about it. I suppose, yeah. My question would be, this alien thing, it does seem to be a huge part of this. These things that people are seeing in the sky, I see all these videos of UFOs. I've even seen them myself. What do you suppose, yeah, those might be? Is that a hidden technology? Is it fake? Is it designed to trick us?
I think it could be all of the above. You literally have things that are just spurious and random. You have, because it's not so much in the thing that happens, it's the interpretation of the thing that happens, right? So if an apple falls and then you say an apple fell, that's what happened. But the interpretation, oh, it's gravity, that's an interpretation. Or you could say, well, no, it's buoyancy, and like flat earthers talk about buoyancy and density, right? So their interpretation is different. So when you see things flying in the air, yeah, it could be government done. It could be something that's just prosaic and ordinary, and we're interpreting it as alien. There could be real aliens, but I don't think so, because I don't really believe in outer space. it could be anything. But the point is, whatever it is, it's going to be used to support this false alien agenda narrative. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
what it is.
Absolutely. There must be a group out there somewhere that has some serious technology. Maybe it is this cabal of these groups, these secret societies, or it's somehow linked to them. Who knows? But there does seem to be a technology out there that people are seeing that is not what we have in front of us. It makes me wonder if this stuff is being slowly released.
I think it's been probably around for quite a while. I mean, you can talk about stories of ancient Atlantis and Lemuria and Nu and Kaatsallejuk, which is an actual, not really mythical ancient culture. It's a real culture, you know, Kaatsallejuk. And they have these very advanced technological understandings of these aqueducts in Egypt, the pyramids. That's pretty, we're still kind of scratching our heads. I mean, those are big stones, talking tons. And using the pi equation and the balancing of it, the Parthenon, I mean, just look at the architecture. These were not primitive cultures. So whether this technology has always been around and just kept secret, or whether it's been rediscovered, or whether they're actually making advances now with computers and, you know, whatever else, I kind of say all bets are on. I mean, whatever you can come up with, and nobody really knows at this point. There's so much, I call it stimulus flooding. You know, it's a caveat of cognitive dissonance. So much information and disinformation. And so I kind of saw it as my job to distill the nightmare, the labyrinth, into something that's kind of homogeneously coherent for people. I'm trying to do that. I mean, you know for yourself how big this stuff gets. you're trying to tame the Leviathan, really.
Yeah, one of the things that was most disturbing to me recently was finding out how deeply this stuff is embedded in the music industry. Some of my favorite bands might be branched off from some of these shady secret societies and things of that nature.
Well, that's the thing about, I'm a musician, so you're kind of, no pun intended, preaching to the choir. I'm a songwriter, a musician, I've played symphonies and I write music and theater. And one of the things is you can only go so far in not just music, fashion, dance, film, theater, even probably. And then you have to go through certain doors, initiation doors. And there's a series of them. And as you go through them, there's more and more immoral, satanic things required of you. Like even things like sacrificing your own mother is required in the music industry to get to like the $20 million level. Sacrificing a friend, being repeatedly raped and sodomized by the music producers. And this is what's going on. And so, yeah, your favorite bands, if they're big, they are fully deep inside this kind of beast system, Luciferian entertainment industry. I mean, they're being, like Lady Gaga is probably raped 20 times a day, you know, to her own songs in the background. I'm sure she's been through such mind control and abuse because she's like the poster child for the transhumanistic agenda, all of her space stuff. And she's Luciferian. And that's a song about Judas. Just constantly exalting occult Luciferian ideology and the homosexual agenda. It's all wrapped up into that particular iconic figure, Lady Gaga. And they all get their little specialties. Katy Perry has her specialty, but it all turns into this big pornographic sex romp thing where they're extolling the feminine whore, or the whore of Babylon is being exalted in their, you know, Beyonce. It always turns into Miley Cyrus is now a pornographic piece of dirt, you know. And she didn't engineer this. See, they're following agendas and orders from high up. And I don't mean high up in the sky. I mean, producers, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Kesha, Miley Cyrus. Then you have all the guys, even Maroon 5, they're pretty funky, but you can imagine how Adam Levine, you don't get to that position unless you do some pretty immoral satanic things. And so that's the dirty, ugly, the underbelly of the music industry, and it's all connected to everything I'm talking about.
Would you say that our school system is heavily influenced by this Luciferian movement?
I would go as far as to say, because the Jesuits have had their hand in creating our curriculum and Freemasons and Kabbalists, I would go so far to say it's going back, you know, hundreds of years, that they've been almost fully in control of it. And so everything you know is wrong. I'm not personally saying it's to you. I'm just saying, you know, that everything we know is, again, some of the facts may be coherent with reality or true, But again, it's the interpretation of these facts that becomes the conspiracy. A friend of mine was saying, so you're into conspiracies. I said, well, not necessarily. I mean, I look at the facts of things, and then I look at the interpretations of those facts, and it seems to me they're skewed or wrong. So I reinterpret them according to new data, like empirically, that I collect. And then so my interpretation will be different than what the mainstream is. But it doesn't mean, you know, I'm wrong. It just means I think they're covering something up. Like the Indians, you know, that everything's nice with the Indians and we killed a few. But then you start learning what happened is genocide is like 20 million. I mean, over a course of years. And so there's always like I don't know if you're aware of that kind of idea. But
or the blacks, they were treated pretty crappy for a very long time. And there's the, what's it called? The Tuskegee experiments, just some really dark shit going on.
Oh, right. And one would ask themselves, you know, how do people do such things? Like people say, how do bad people do such things? You know, and I think if you keep lifting up those rocks, you start to see a very similar spider. And people like to call names. Oh, is it the Jews? Is it the Catholics? Is it the Jesuits? Is it the Kabbalists? Is it the Sabbatine Frankists? Is it the Bilderberg? Is it the, you know, they're always trying to like nail some group. And you could say, well, you know, secret societies are connected. There is elements of truth to all those things. I made a joke once. I said, well, I think it's Oprah Winfrey is behind the entire game. Yeah. Just to kind of like lighten it up. It's like, it's Oprah Winfrey is behind the entire New World Order. You know, of course not. Right. And so I think what we have is, such an interconnected network of secret societies for so many thousands of years, so well orchestrated. It's a Hydra head. It's a web. And this is kind of like why you come to the name of your program, End of Days. Like, how do you win? And now you could. AI could be the wild card and it could somehow turn off. You know, I don't think so, but you know, anything's possible.
Yeah, it does seem like that's exactly what's going on. I mean, it's not exactly like you would see in the book of Revelations, but as far as Satan rising up and taking over the world and all the people kind of getting behind him, it does seem like that's kind of what's going on. And I'm not a religious guy at all. It just seems like that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's just, Daniel, you're doing what a scientist says. You're looking at empirical science. You're saying, hey, I see these connections. I see people. They're so used to being brainwashed by thinking what they're supposed to think as opposed to just opening their eyes and seeing what's actually happening. There is definitely an agenda. Now, there's a chapter in my book that talks about, it's called, is the Bible prophecy, a blueprint, or both? And then I had another chapter called The Greatest Mind Game of All, which is like a fourth interpretation. And what I was in that small little chapter, it was really short. It's just like a page or two. And what I say is that, well, the Bible might have been written as a prophecy, you know, where these things are prophetic and they're coming true. In which case, you know, there is a God and Christ is probably Christ. And that's all there is to it. Like, I mean, a lot of Christians are saying, you know, if you're not on the Christian boat right now, you're dead forever. It's a pretty heavy thing to say, but it ties into that idea of the Bible being prophecy. Because if it's prophecy and this is happening, well, then that's a prophetic. That's God. I mean, how can you predict with that much accuracy? Okay, the other thing is that it's not prophecy and it's a blueprint that was written by corrupt Luciferians, you know, pre-Constantine. And it was a blueprint for world tyranny, and they've just been following it for 2,000 years. And we're at the end of the agenda. And now they're using HARP technology to energetically heat up the oceans near Africa, which causes hurricanes. And then you have 8 hurricanes hit the coast. Well, how does that happen? Well, HARP technology. So you're creating the bad weather. And you're creating the famine by not feeding the people in Africa. And you're creating wars by creating wars, you know, funding both sides of wars with weapons. I mean, you can create all the things that are in the Bible and make it seem like it's a prophecy. Okay, so that's the blueprint theory. The other idea, and I don't know, I'm just positing different ideas. The other idea is that it's both. It was written prophetically, and it's also being followed like a blueprint. Like, they're going to make it happen. If it's, even if it doesn't, they're going to make it happen. So it could be both. And the other thing is that we have no idea. Like, we just have no, like, there's a connection, but we're just making connections like mandala connections. We're just like, oh yeah, it sounds like that. But then Nostradamus said this. It also sounds like what Buckminster Fuller said in a letter. You know, like, you can connect these things to anything. And that's like another, that's the weakest of all those scenarios in my view. But what you're saying is kind of undeniable, is that there is something about this book called the Bible that needs to be reevaluated, because this is too uncannily accurate. And so if it does go into this end times, you know, the end of days, people say, oh no, the Christians are going to let it happen. They're going to lay down their guns and just let it happen because the Bible says it's supposed to happen. And then the Christians are saying, well, what do you want us to do? Like, how are you going to stop this? But you can't do it force. I mean, the people you're opposing have all the weapons. Are you going to do it with philosophy or propaganda? I mean, that's what we're trying to do. Like, you have a radio show. And yeah, if we can turn this around, great. I'm all for it. I'm 100% for defeating the New World Order. But I'm also not deluded, so deluded as to say, this has to happen or we will do it. I don't have any data that supports that. And that's like the end of days part where you kind of go, oh, okay. So what are your options from there? Die forever? Or there's the Christian thing where you accept Christ and then, you know, you're good, you're fine. So, and that's pretty attractive. People say, well, you're just being a fool, an idiot, you know? And then the quantum physicist says, well, in quantum physics, anything can be possible. So if you think Christ is the Messiah, he is the Messiah. Okay, well, so now quantum physics is supporting that you can just have Christ as your Messiah and you're good, you're fine, stop worrying. You know, I'm just trying to lay out all these different possibilities. See?
Yeah, there's another part of this I find to be, it's really something I should ask you about. What yeah. about these people that become possessed, or one popular topic you see on these radio programs is shadow beings. Many people would say that those are demonic beings. Greg, do you believe in demons and angels?
Well, this is where kind of you kind of polarize a lot of people. And again, we can harken back to this ideology of alchemical magic and spirits and demons and angels and, you know, gods or God, and the idea of quantum mystical science or quantum physics, where you interdimensional, again, superstring theory at 11 dimensions. So CERN is working with interdimensional technologies and opening up portals and Stargate concepts and, you know, creating antimatter and black holes. I mean, what is all these spiritual concepts, devils, demons, interdimensional possession, paranormal activity, what is that but this modern interpretation that we have going in science, which is portals and quantum entanglement? I mean, it's the same thing. That's why I keep saying it's just a repackaging of ancient religion, really, ancient occult religion. So I would say, yeah, all bets are on. Why not? Why can't it makes perfect sense that we'd have interdimensional demonic possession. Material secularists might call that quantum interdimensional energy. See, they're just trying to take over the show. You follow what I'm saying? They're just like, oh no, you can't use those words. You can't say demon. We can use these words over here because we're smarter. You know, it's just a little game. It's kind of like I have in my book. I talk about the ancient Druidic robes of the priests. They had dark robes and they were in power and they knew everything, right? And everyone was subjugated to this, the knowledge they had. Well, what are the white, they traded in their black robes for white smocks, for white lab coats. And it's the same trip, the scientism, where we have all the answers, don't question us, the astronomical numbers and equations that we can't even figure out. and distances so big that no one can comprehend. I mean, when they start saying things like, oh, this particular star is 327,000 trillion light years away. Okay, first of all, nobody can conceive of a light year away. And certainly nobody can conceive of two light years. But like 725,000 trillion light. Yeah, they're just inventing shit up. It's not true. They're just making it up and passing it off as something authentic and, you know, using it's like smoke and mirrors. So everybody is just hypnotized by scientism. Science, you know. there's a song a long time ago, Blinded by Science. You recall that song?
Oh, Blinded yeah, I love that science. Song. Blinded me with science.
Great song. I forgot the Thomas Dolby is the composer, the songwriter, Thomas Dolby. And in the middle of the song, he goes, science, you know, science. You know, Bill Nye, the science guy, Bill Nye, the science guy, Bill Nye. It's just a glamorization of science so that it takes over. And it's certainly worked. All the movies, are full of, you know, new age science and quantum mystics, you know, Interstellar is about going into the fifth dimension. Like, okay, here's an example. Christopher Nolan makes the movie Interstellar where it's okay to go into the fifth dimension and time travel. Like that's perfectly reasonable, but then you can't have demons. Like, who's calling the shots here? Like it, to me, going into the fifth dimension and keeping your body coherent and going into a different time portal and then accessing your daughter's bookshelf, that's what happens in the movie, through a black hole. But that's, you know, that's perfectly scientifically reasonable. But the idea that interdimensional paranormal activity through minds that are real and incarnate and on the earth is absolutely beyond looking into. And that's the slam dunk vice hold thing we have going on with and it's the title of my book, The Scientism Delusion. It's got everybody. It's hypnotic.
Does Aleister Crowley play a big role in all of this?
He's played a massive role. I think he's dead now, right? But
yeah.
He's pretty much, yeah, you got the Tavistock Institute in England a long time ago, beginnings and dates, the 1800s or early 1900s, and they developed certain mind control and social engineering strategies. And, you know, they brought the Beatles over and they started this Beat Generation New Age counterculture movement. They infused using the CIA working with Tavistock in just totally infused the teenagers with drugs and rock and roll and all these new age concepts and Eastern mysticism. And so Aleister Crowley was all part of that. I think the Beatles Magical Mystery Tour album. And on the front, they have Aleister Crowley, all their idols on the front. And Aleister Crowley was on the cover of that album. And he was known as Dr. Pepper. So, you know, there's you've heard of the Beatles, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, right?
Yeah, yeah, it had the picture of him on the cover, didn't it?
Yeah, but the actual song is it was 20 years ago today when Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. Okay, I meant Sergeant, not Doctor. So Sergeant Pepper was their code name for Aleister Crowley. So it was 20 years ago today when Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. We were going in and out of style, but we're guaranteed to make a smile, something like that. Okay, that's the song. And they're, you know, tipping their hat to their mentor, their guru, Aleister Crowley. So, and Jimmy Page bought Aleister Crowley's house by a lake. He was on a lake there. He had a thing on his guitar that said Sozo. It was like an anagram for some kind of sun, pagan sun occultism. And he was involved in Luciferian. And he got Theosophy with Madame Helena Blavatsky and The Secret Doctrine. And Aleister Crowley, obviously, with the Law of Thelema, do as thou wilt. You see that? I mean, how attractive would that be?
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, caller, hello? Do you have a question for our guest tonight?
Yeah, just incredible show.
Greg, can you hear me? Greg, are you still there? Hold on. Could you call back in a second there, Todd?
Certainly.
Hello? Hello, Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I had a call come in, and I screwed up, and I meant to put the call on so the caller could ask you a question, and I lost them, and I lost you, too.
Oh, yeah, if you're able to do it, that'd be great, if it happens again.
Caller, please call back as soon as you can.
So, that's what we have.
Yeah, one thing that I heard before that really disturbed me was that the entire psychedelic movement it's them. It's these people, the Madame Blavatsky New Age. There's a big conspiracy behind all of it.
Yeah, it's all wrapped up together. It's kind of like Madame Helena Blavatsky's secret doctrine, and then Alice Daly was her protege or disciple. Wrote the externalization of the hierarchy. And the idea was this fifth age or the root race of man, the Aryan root race. You know, this is, I mean, Hitler, I make a joke in my book because Hitler was used Madame Helena Blavatsky's secret doctrine. It was like his Bible. It was by his bed. And then I made a joke in my book. I'm saying, and how fun is that? You know, how fun a book could it be if it was Hitler's Bible? He pretty much based his Aryan thing on that book. And so you've got this Luciferian dream of becoming God. And so Blavatsky and later Alice Daly with the externalized hierarchy and the United Nations and Luciferianism and depopulation, Agenda 21, Aleister Crowley, drugs everywhere, and then later on, Timothy Leary, and Timothy Leary got on the computer wagon later on in his life. You're talking about digital messiah stuff and becoming, you know, through this technology. You see how it all kind of ramped up, started.
Hello, caller? Caller?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, caller.
Hello? Hello, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, yeah.
Incredible show. I appreciate the deep subject material. You sound, Greg, so well thought out on these issues.
Thank you. A lot of digging. You have a question? Radio,
totally. Well, I just wanted to comment on you were going down a path, you know, of all the possibilities, right, of what it could be. You're keeping it open. I love that.
Right.
The portal concept, you know. What's wrong mm-hmm. with opening the portal and connecting to the beyond and having it flow through and having it work out? Isn't that a possibility too?
Yeah, absolutely. When you said portal, the first thing I thought of was CERN. Because the Large Hadron Collider, the CERN project, is kind of trying to open a portal. They have Shiva the Destroyer, you know, the Dance of Destruction as their symbol. And that's like the Shiva the Destroyer of Worlds. And they're trying to open this portal that's ripping through time space. The problem is, if you want to go so far as to talk about opening portals to spiritual dimensions, you're also opening portals to demonic and entities. I'm just saying, if you want to go into this context, see,
maybe that could happen. But what if also you could open it up and go back to like 1957, like that?
Oh no, but
I wanted to, you know, be back in and just transport that through.
I think anything's possible to a certain extent, but I just don't think it's preferable for light of the consequences entailed. Like, okay, you want to go back to 1855 to meet your grandfather, and at the chance of opening portholes that would release a demonic kind of energy that would, like, destroy the world. Like, it's just not worth it, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's supposed to be
tampering. It doesn't have to be demonic, though, according to, you know, what you were saying earlier, because you're open to all the possibilities. I know you lean towards the Luciferian, and I'm with you, but...
What I'm saying is that whether I'm open to things or not is irrelevant to the fact that there's... Let's get off of the religious interpretation for a second, because sometimes you can just look at it material or secularly. There are, you know, very dark, viciously dangerous energies. Whether you're a quantum physicist, you know, involved with entropy studies, it doesn't matter.
Like the atomic bomb.
The atomic bomb is a great example. But CERN, you know, they want to do things like create little miniature black holes. Now, I don't really believe in it all being as real as people do. I think it's more like a cult fantasy. But they're teaching people that it's real. And if you buy into it, then what you have is the potential for completely destroying, you know, the solar system. Okay, now they say, well, no, it's safe. Well, haven't we heard this story before, you know, where something's safe? You got the, it's the cliche of the guy is at the, he's going to draw a circle and raise up energies, you know, the cone of power, and there's a pentagram, yeah. And I'm just going to raise, I'm going to summons these entities.
Gotcha.
The next thing that happens, it's a bad, Polanski movie, or whoever the guy's name.
May I ask, how old are you, Greg?
Oh, I'm 52.
52? I'm 51, yeah. Right on. We're right the same age. What part of the country are you from?
California.
California. I'm in Utah.
Are you Mormon?
Yeah, I was raised in that, yeah. But I broke out, you know, mentally, and I see everything you've seen, but I don't chase the Jesuits down as hard as you've been, but I know the whole history behind the Jesuits. I live in Mormonism, you know, under Mormonism, so you want to hear that history? No.
Well, I'm curious about your knowledge of the Jesuits, because, you know, I hear a lot of stuff about
my wife. My wife's Catholic. She came from New York. She was in high school in a prestigious Catholic school in New York.
Yeah.
And told me all about the Jesuits. That perspective. That was the same age as us. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm lucky I met her. But on the Jesuit thing, they're the ones if you follow it through, if you follow the line through history that had the power, right? They had the power because the Roman Catholic Empire. Rome.
Well, you know, there's an argument. I'm writing a part two of this book, and there's an argument that I may put in there. It sounds like an obvious thing, but I think people forget the fact that how come the Jesuits get penned or pegged so much for all this, I'm saying they're repackaging ancient Kabbalah, using it as a Trojan horse to thrust a scientific religion forward. But then you're saying, well, they had all the power, so they could do it, and that makes sense now. Yeah, I agree.
Well, what it is, there's all these, I loved how you described the networks, they're like the spidely, spindly webs everywhere in our society, but people can't see them.
No, I know, they work behind the scenes.
People can't see them, it's just they're everywhere, and it's just, and they put it in your face with the pyramid on the dollar bill, and a really good show.
Oh, good.
I didn't want to take up too much of your time, I just...
Thanks.
We had
forever. We could just keep talking and talking. There'll be more shows, I'm sure. So, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Daniel, please bring him back on again.
For sure.
But Greg, before I let you go, I didn't mean to interrupt because you're going on about Crowley. Please go on about Crowley. We talk about him a lot on this show.
Oh, Crowley. Yeah. Did you hear what I had said so far about Crowley?
Dr. Pepper, Sgt. Pepper's album.
Sgt. Pepper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's very interesting. Again, he wrote the Book of the Law, The Law of Thelema. And this is all based in the Book of Thoth, going back to
ancient. Or Babylon. Again. Yep. Babylon. I read a lot of Crowley. Yeah. I read a lot of Crowley.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know. I mean, teenagers love it because it's like, do us thou wilt is the whole of the law. I mean, so
well, that's a great concept when you're 15, yeah.
Well, I know. It's like, well, try working adults doing that.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
He just did whatever. I mean, the idea is really liberating for young people because they think, oh, yeah, I just do anything I want. And, you know, it was packaged with sex, drugs, and rock and roll for a reason. It was an agenda.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And who can deny the power of music?
Well, right. And then, well, Lucifer was the greatest musician of all, so the plot thickens, right?
Well, I don't lean towards the Lucifer label. That's me, Greg. I wouldn't call it Lucifer. But AI, whatever you want to call it, evil, dark force that's all encapsulated, wants to get you. I'm not saying there isn't the Luciferianism. And that they don't have doctrines and Bibles, and they talk about the highest ranks, you finally realize it's Lucifer. That's all real.
That's what I was telling Daniel earlier, that it's the semantic difficulty of talking about anything in religion or politics. Or anything. There's a semantic obstacle. It's like Wittgenstein talking about the limitations of linguistics. And this is what we're up against every time, you know, we open our mouths, is that when I say Luciferianism, somebody's like, oh, is that like a cult that wear robes? Well, no. Luciferianism is an agenda. And it's an agenda going back to, you know, the Garden of Eden story, obviously, where Lucifer or, you know, the serpent saying you can be as God if you taste this knowledge. And it's Gnostic knowledge. And so Luciferianism is using knowledge, which has translated in modern times as technology and science. That's like the knowledge. To become God. And that's what I'm talking about. More of an agenda than a person or an entity per se. Though people postulate Lucifer, you know, that's fine, but it's more of an agenda. Luciferian agenda, I should say.
No, I love, Greg, that you're open with your concepts and you're talking possibilities. You're not telling people this is what it is. I love that.
I mean, I don't know
fantastic
what it is.
Fantastic show, and I'm not going to keep you all night because we talk like this all night. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you for your thoughts. It kind of inspired me to a new way to think about a few things. Thank you.
Check his show out because it's all about what you're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Good evening.
Okay. Bye-bye. You there, Daniel?
Greg, is virtual reality a big part of this?
Oh, yeah, that's like the final chapter to all this. Like, all roads lead to Rome, kind of. It all leads to this AI, digital, virtual, mind-uploading, you know, nanosynthetic avatar, surrogate body kind of thing. Like, they're really working full throttle to get this off the ground and using 5G technology to supercharge it. And it's the idea of having everybody digitally interface to this AI cloud mind. And it's already happening. You know, the RFID is, I always get that mixed up, RIFD or RFID. You know what I mean? The chip?
Yes.
You put it in your hand. And so people are trying to, fight that. But the idea of getting digitized and connected to this AI beast system where they can use microchips to control your moods and your eyes, I mean, your thoughts and feelings, eventually you'd be so interlaced, neurally interlaced to this AI. I call it the B system. And so it's kind of like to bring it back on the ground so people can understand, because all these terms are very confusing. Digital, mind uploading, neurosynthetic, transhumanistic, AI, like what the hell are you talking about, right? It's like the Illuminati masters, you could say. They want this dystopian future where daily life is so abysmal that nothing will be more attractive than the idea of uploading your mind into a synthetic, digital, AI-driven virtual reality. Okay, but once you're in, you're like a slave. You're under the program of the software, you could say, right? You know, you get in a game scenario with Oculus glasses or holographic technology, and you're at the whim of the game, really.
So yeah, you know, I just got I got the version for the PlayStation 4, and as soon as I tried it, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, see, there it is. And then so you're going to get hooked, and it's all going to be bells and whistles and, you know, Christmas time, and it'll get more sophisticated. Eventually, you won't want to do your talk show because you'll be busy inside your holographic world. This is what they want. Yeah. Or you'll do it from inside there. It'll be an avatar. I'll communicate to you as a digital avatar, and we'll discuss things over coffee while I sit here in my room. I mean, they're taking it that, but see, it's not going to end happy. I know, again, I'm cynical, right? It's like Steven Spielberg, he's always served the alien deception agenda. You know, he had Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He even did a movie called AI. I mean, how blatant is that? It's called AI. Okay. So what do we have coming up very soon by Steven Spielberg? Ready Player One.
Yeah, same thing.
There we go. So it's it's like envisioned a dystopian future like Elysium, movie Elysium with Matt Damon, or even Oblivion with Tom Cruise. You have this off-world entity, and it's destroying your post-apocalyptic scenario. So again, Ready Player One, dystopian future where there's a digital Elysium that you can enter into, like the game that you just bought, right? And it's the only way out of your dystopian reality. Like, everything sucks so bad that going into this digital virtual reality is the most appealing thing, and people will do it more and more. And people are doing it. How many people are staring at their cell phones all day long? Anything but talking to the person next to them. Anything but looking at a tree. They're just staring at the AMOLED screen, moving little images, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, back and forth, Facebook. I mean, there's no end to it, right? Imagine that on steroids. That's what we're going to. So the B system, it's a very real digital AI monitored technological overlay. It's going to be dropped like a net on mankind. And all actions, thoughts, desires, feelings will be governed and monitored and sculpted by this AI B system. It's interlaced into us through nanoparticulates in our blood and microchipping. And when the 5G goes online, this B system, when it takes over, all the chemtrails with barium and strontium and aluminum that they've been spraying for the past 55 years, and the 5G grid and the AI and the HARP and CERN, it all connects into this digital Skynet. And we're back to the Terminator film, right?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely something to it, because they could easily get everybody inside that VR by offering them that VR pornography or virtual reality sex. That's going to get everybody. Who's going to turn that down? It's completely disease-free, no risk of pregnancy.
Absolutely, and they're pushing promiscuity. You know, to backpedal for a second and not to get religious, this whole thing that we're talking about, the entire hour, is about Christianity versus anti-Christianity. That's really what's going on. You know, Luciferian, biblical, right? That's all that's going on. Digital Antichrist. They want an AI digital fake Messiah. That's their solution. So if that's the case, the Luciferian world that they're creating, that we're being enticed or seduced, you know, the apple, the carrot, you know, the apple is like, oh yeah, power, fun, immortality, nanosynthetic fun, you know, I can life extension, godlike power, superpower, you know, all the psychological programming through Marvel Comics movies, which I love. I watch them because it tells me exactly what the Luciferian agenda is. That's why I watch them, you know. And it's so compelling. Pornography that's AI virtual reality driven, and that won't work for everybody. So the gaming, mixing games with pornography. There's a lot of pornography that's games. You know, it's
Grand Theft Auto. That game, that new game, well, it's not new at this point, but Grand Theft Auto, it's famous for having a part in the game where you can go inside of a strip club and get a virtual lap dance.
Yeah, and they're going to supercharge that into far more, you know, there's no end to the what, 30% of all business on the internet is pornography. I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be a cesspool of, it's going to be Babylon, the whole world involved in this. Stealing, crime, killing, slicing up the dyes, pornography, and it's not you or me or I that's going to be doing this, because we kind of, you know, we're conscious enough to see it, and we're kind of helping others to see it too. It's going to be people that don't even think these thoughts, that are innocent victims, you know, they're led to the slaughter because they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, we always seem to circle back to this idea of Babylon, and I think you're right.
Yeah.
If you imagine back then, I know that there's things like a lot of magic centered around demons and working with them back in the days of Babylon, and probably stuff with portals and things like that. It's no wonder why they would call it Babylon in Revelations, because it's coming back.
Yeah, Mystery Babylon. And see, you know, people would say, oh, hey, Daniel, you're crazy. Portals, back in time, portals. But what is CERN trying to do? They even use the word portal. You see, this is, in other words, I think you're right on target, is what you're saying, is that they are trying to resurrect this Mystery Babylon religion and finish what they call the Great Work. And that's to become gods. You know, this isn't for us. They want to kill, when I say they, who am I talking about? The Jesuits, United Nations? I mean, pick your pick. The elite want to depopulate, genocide 7 billion. You heard of the Georgia Guidestones, right? They only want 500 million left so that they can control the slaves. They want worship. They don't want money. They have the money. The Rothschilds have $512 trillion. Of property and assets and money. They don't need money. They want worship. They want us to worship them like a rock star. That's the game. Slavery, humiliation, murder, blood sacrifice. I mean, these are not, this is not Harry Potter. People don't understand what this is really about. This is mass slaughter.
Yeah.
We're already seeing it in, yeah,
I mean
that's the darker side.
Yeah, you hear a lot of elaborate theories and a lot of things that tie to spiritualism, but it very well could be that what they really want to do is just kill us all.
That's right, genocide. Actually, it's in all the literature. The United Nations talks about depopulation, that 3 billion must be gone by 2030. I mean, they're not hiding the fact anymore that they're going to kill us. They already are, using chemtrails, drugs, poor food, GMOs, genocide, war, you name it, right? 1,000 ways to die. You know, it's like people like you and I might get upset, and people say, what's wrong with you? Well, I know a few things you don't know, and this is not going to end well. So getting back to what you say about demonic entities, I think they're going to be presented to us as benevolent alien saviors at some point. You know, whether they're really demonic entities or not, they'll be presented to the world as these alien saviors. And CERN, the Hadron Collider, tearing through the veil to let these entities through, and the D-Wave quantum computers are the facility which will reconstitute their DNA, you know, the battle's on, all that kind of thing. And so it's like a chaotic maelstrom of AI, digitally fueled quantum probabilities, and they can reconfigure reality itself. And from the ashes of all that destruction, their phoenix will rise, this unparalleled power and majesty of, you know, the New World Order autocracy, the Luciferian occult magic, you know, the Mystery Babylon resurrected. And this is really what we're looking at. We're looking at this purely occult slam dunk takeover of the world.
And you also brought up something that was talked about on this program a while ago, but Tomorrowland, there seems to be some kind of a lot of symbolism in those interesting electronic music festivals.
No, it's 100% occult. It's the new age. There's some videos online about Tomorrowland, but what you're looking at, these are big budget productions, multi-million dollar productions. And it talks about, the book, opens a book, and it talks about a great person that will come to save, like a savior. The Tomorrowland is programming for the Antichrist Messiah. And I'm not making this up. It's at the Tomorrowland script. They open a huge book up in front of people and they feed everyone, make sure everyone's on MDMA and acid and the drugs as much as possible. And it's just unity, love and light, new age brainwashing. I've known people that said, oh, you don't understand. At these concerts, everybody's in love. I'm like, yeah, everyone's frying on Molly. I bet they're in love. how about the next morning when your serotonin's depleted from the base of your spine and you're ready to kill yourself? Where'd the love go? I mean, it's all bullshit. It's Luciferian brainwashing. And I went through the New Age. I was at UCSC. I have a bachelor's in psychology. I studied music at UCLA. I did the drugs, New Age, yoga, tantra, kundalini, meditation, Zen, tarot, numerology, Luciferian study. I mean, I know all this stuff from college. And so looking back, and I was really anti-Christian because, let's face it, everything we know about Christianity was taught to us by Satanists. That's really what we learned most of everything. I mean, some churches are, of course, fine. I'm just saying, the Jesuits and other secret societies, Freemasons, have infiltrated all churches and all organizations and media and education. Everything we know and we hear about Christianity is negative because the Satanists are propagating it and teaching it to us. So wouldn't it be to the benefit of a Satanist to paint an unfavorable picture of Christianity? And I'm not trying to turn anyone to a Christian. I'm just saying when Christianity teaches love and mercy and forgiveness, and people think that's evil, you see the inversion? That's a huge inversion of logic. If I told you that the doctrine of my church is loving each other, helping, creativity, forgiveness, mercy, and an infinitely loving God that will rescue you. Okay, and would you say, oh my God, that's so wicked. You're going to kill everybody, aren't you? No. See, they've inverted the whole thing, and they've hijacked it. And now what does Luciferian teach? Love, light, and unity. But look at the fruits. Drug addiction, genocide, depopulation, elite autocracy. You see, the fruits don't jive with the love and light message.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Catholic Church, it seems to be completely controlled by these Luciferians, and then there's the whole thing with Freemasonry with Albert Pike, right, and all of that. I even had a high level Freemason come on this program before, and he pretty much said, yeah, that the highest levels there's Luciferianism and it's pretty cool. You should look into it. Yeah.
yeah, they're digging it. If you're at the top of, like, if you're a CEO and making bank, then you're really supportive of the whole hierarchy of CEOs at the top making a lot of money, right? But what if you're the guy that just lost his job and fired and is on the street? You're not so much in favor of that system. So if you're doing well at, getting all your brotherhood love from your Freemason buddies, yeah, sure, you're going to paint a rosy picture. It's Rosicrucianism. It's mystery schools. It's Kabbalah. All of them mixed together, they got it all going there. And you got the skull and bones, right? You've heard of skull and bones.
Oh, yeah.
Where they pretty much manufacture heads of state and presidents. Both Bushes came out of there, Kelly or George Kerry. I mean Clinton, too. Like, what are the odds of all these presidents coming out of a group that's, it's got like 18 people there, and it just that's odds that you have presidents coming out of a little tiny group. They're being preened, and heads of Goldman and Sachs and Wall Street, and then Goldman and Sachs merges with our governments, and so it's all in bed together. And then at the top of the spider web, you got Rothschilds and And then beyond that, you got the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati, which goes back to Egypt. It's like the pharaohs had power, and they didn't want to give it up. So they just kind of like transmutated into, they changed the last name, they migrated over to Great Britain. You know, like the Nefertiti or Cleopatra had a staff and an orb. She'd hold an orb, represented that it represented her power over the world, right? And the staff was like, who knows? Justice, power, beating people, I don't know. You go to England, and underneath the chair of the queen is an orb, or a scepter, rather, a scepter or a staff and an orb. It's the same thing. It's like the Egyptian hierarchy changed the name. They, you know, interbred Mongoloid sons and daughters, and they migrate over to England, and they start the English, you know, the British Empire, the Windsors. It's all the same bloodline flowing back. And then people say, oh, then the Anunnaki and Enki, and you have all these, and the Nephilim. It just keeps going, this story, this narrative.
Do you think there's any possibility of things breaking down to the point where there is some type of like Mad Max stereotypical end times type of thing going on like that, the dystopian wastelands?
Well, we are seeing that some of it now. Like, it's not in the future, it's happening now. You had, what was this place? There was like a riot. I forgot. There's was a, black people involved. There's a riot. That sounds like a lot of riots, right? But it was a famous one. I'm just, the name escapes me for a second. But then you have in Florida, and you had, I mean, there's these hot pockets all through the United States of revolt and riot and killing, okay? And then other countries have that going on. It's like the Middle East is Mad Max. I mean, that's, people think it's a war. No, it's a run for your life, dodging bullets, mayhem of genocide. And the Gaza Strip and Palestine is getting genocided by the thousands. You know, there's like a little kid with a rock. He's 11. He's a Palestinian kid, is throwing a rock at Israeli soldiers with tanks and AK-47. They're just mowing them over. It's not a war. It's a genocide. So, yeah, the Mad Max is alive and well. It's happening. We just, like, I'm sitting in my room, you know, I'm pretty cozy. I had a sandwich earlier talking to you. Get some notes here. Everything's kind of groovy, but for the rest of the world, it's not that way at all. And so I think it's going to come here. It's going to hit our shores. It already is. And yeah, it's, they're going to try to control it with surveillance and police, but there's going to be a lot of death. I mean, a lot. You got all the right-wing gun owners. They're not going to give up their guns. They're already creating all these crisis actors, psyops, these schools getting shot up, all this stuff that's, I think, just psyop, you know? And so people are told to give their guns up, and it's not going to happen. So, yeah, something's going to snap, I think, at some point. It's kind of snapping now, but I know, what is your idea on that? To throw it back at you.
Yeah, that's something I've thought about quite a bit. There's times when I've thought maybe I should prepare, maybe I should learn to get off the grid and find some alternate form of electricity and save up on various things and collect weapons and learn to organically farm and do things like that. But then there's a part of me that says, what if I spend a lot of time doing that and then the scenario is totally different where I'm running around a city or who knows what's going to happen?
Right. It could be what I talk about. I don't really talk about the Mad Max part of it because I'm looking at the way these people operate, and they don't operate through violence as much as they do through mind control. And that's why I wrote the thing on my Twitter page. It said that these Luciferians figured out they could use mind control to control people by changing the descriptions of reality, which leads to scientism and everything I've been talking about tonight, right? So it wouldn't be I say it this way sometimes. You got 1984, where you've got a jackboot on your throat for the rest of eternity. Violence, right? Keep them down with violence. But they learned a long time ago that's not very effective. You get too many people to control. But Brave New World, as opposed to 1984, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World is a different idea. Using test tube babies and soma, which is the drug you take to feel better, and teaching that marriage is bad and outlawing marriage and changing words and scientific dictatorship. a neo-scholastic fascism, kind of like a neo-scholastic fascism where the academics rises to power, which is what we're seeing, which is the topic of my book. I'm seeing this happen, and I'm writing about it. And you have a technological autocracy where the elite control and shape. And so it could just keep going that direction. There's not a lot of Mad Max stuff. There's just this vice-like surveillance control grid. And if AI kicks in with the 5G grid that they're rolling out, creating 5G technology, well, then you're going to be seeing things like micro nano chips in the air, in the soil, in your bloodstream. Like the whole world will be online in a virtual reality digital grid.
The Borg.
The Borg. This is the idea. The thing that I write about is that. I don't write about the Mad Max scenario because, sure, that may happen, but I think they're trying to plug everybody in. It's Ready Player One for the rest of your life, but it's like having your liver eaten out by, you know, the story of Icarus, I guess, or Prometheus, forever. Like, they don't want you to be happy. Like, they want to get you in, seduce you in. You're the angel of light. Seduce you in with technology. I mean, what is happening with that? Everyone has cell phones? Did it start as cell phones? No, it started as telephone. And then it was like watching television, this hypnotic box where they could program you. What do they call, when they program you, what do they call it? You're going to watch a program. The programming in your mind. It's a stay tuned for the next program. It's like they're telling you what they're doing. And so we keep moving right along. We have, you know, the desktop computers, laptops, cell phones. And then you have digital interface. You have Google glasses. There'll be microchips in the brain. I mean, I don't see it not going that direction right now. I see that's where it's going.
What's really scary are these drones. Now they've got them for less than a grand. You can get one and fly it around with your cell phone, and they're pretty technologically advanced, and they could sneak right up on you.
Yeah, they're almost – this is, again, the idea of getting the masses to fight for their masters. Like, they want you to be a surveillance junkie. They want you to spy on your friend. They want someone to call up and say, hey, there's this program called End of Days, and they're saying this stuff that's really against the government or whatever, and so, you know, you need to shut it down. They want people to tattle on each other. They want the drones in the air. They want us to help. And again, we're back to this occult Kabbalah philosophy, the Kabbalah, that it's like the movie called Tomorrowland, not the EDM concert that we talked about, but the movie, where the anti-hero at the end says, well, we showed you all these films of war and pestilence. We painted this gruesome, horrible picture of dystopian futures. And we thought it would dissuade you away from going that direction and make you think. But you loved it. You ate it up. You went to more movies. You bought the books. You supported it. You asked for more war movies and sci-fi dystopian futures. Elysium. Terminator, like we couldn't get enough. Okay, so that movie is very interesting because it's actually giving away the game. They are programming us to like and want these things, to walk right into it. They want us to create the world for them. That is alchemical Kabbalah. That's hermetic. As it is above, so it shall be below. They create the above, connecting with these, you know, interdimensional spirits, if you will, rituals, and they transform the below. We're the below. And so by working on ritualistic magic, of course, it's called science too. It's called quantum entanglement, whatever you want to call it, to effectually change what we are and what is going to be through Kabbalistic reconfiguration of reality. So we're to blame. I mean, we're less to blame because we're exposing it right now, but we're to blame. We're all kind of to blame.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do finally have to draw things to a close, Greg. I do thank you very much for coming on. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and just open things up one more time, let you hop on that soapbox if you wish to do so, and say whatever you like to my audience out there. And please feel free to follow that up with anything coming up, anything at all, websites, Twitter, anything you would like to plug.
Okay, well, yeah, I do have a Twitter account. It's the Scientism Delusion, since, you know, Gregory Garrett, and you can talk to me there anytime. I end up talking to a lot of people all the time, and I really enjoy it, so you're always welcome to be there. As far as kind of like wrapping things up, there's a lot of grim realities we're talking about, and that's kind of like the bad part. But we need to kind of break the chains of a tyrannical self-consciousness and like merge into something a little bit deeper than this, because this is a hellish scenario. So the new age techno-spiritual digital singularity that Ray Kurzweil is kind of reconfiguring for us, this techno-psychedelia avatar we uploaded to this universe as a digitally interlaced psychonaut, all that stuff that's going on with some of Jason Silva's terminology. It's nothing other than this, it's a Gnostic Luciferian deception all the way to cybernetic hell is what it is. So though this is an extreme thing to do, we have to kind of unplug at this point, like less cell phone, less interlacing and interfacing with digital apparatus, less and less of it. And that's pretty much the whole thing would fold. The whole New World Order, the whole agenda would fold if people unplugged. It's that simple. And so that's not going to happen overnight. But I think the more we talk about it in those terms, that we need to stop supporting, like some people say, don't support banks, and then you don't support the tyranny. Well, that's true. That's correct, actually. And they say, well, let's go blockchain. Well, blockchain's digital. Well, we're back to the controllers. They want digital, so that's not the answer. So what is it? Well, it's disconnecting as much as possible from the system they've created. They've created an artificial system for us to inhabit. They've created the rules, regulations, and parameters for us to navigate. So we have to disconnect as much as possible from their game. And so without going into more detail as to how to do that, each person has to kind of be awakened, heads up, and creative, and figure out a way to disconnect from that system. And that's my final thought on that.
Excellent. Greg, thank you so much for joining me here on End of Days Radio. I had a great time. We definitely went over our time, but I thank you for staying along with us and filling our minds with so much unique and interesting information. And I definitely like to touch bases with you in the future, whatever you have going on, whether it's another book or anything. I definitely like to have you on this program again.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. I really enjoyed all of it. And you know, I'd love to do this again anytime. Just have me on and I'll do it. Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. I like it. And with that said, you have a good night, my friend.
Okay. Take care. God bless, Daniel. Bye-bye.
And there you have it. That was tonight's special guest, Gregory L. Garrett. Fascinating stuff. My God. My mind is completely blown. I don't even know what to say. But what I do know that is going to happen is we're going to take a little break so I can collect my thoughts and take a little wee-wee and drink some water and eat this little snack I have. And then we'll kick things back into gear. There's still some show left. We've got some things to talk about. Don't forget, we got another show tomorrow morning. So be ready to get up early for some more End of Days Radio. For now, let's listen to some music. Of course, you people that listen to the podcast version, you're not going to hear any of this. You know what, though? I'm really starting to think, should I just start leaving this stuff in? It's not like these darn YouTube videos make any money anyway, so why am I cutting out all of this great music that I could be giving exposure to? I'll think about it. We'll see. Hello, and welcome back to the End of Days. This is your host, Daniel. Daniel, who is here to tell you that I love you guys. Let's go ahead and get started with our, what do we call this? The news and wrap-up segment of the show. Sometimes we'll call it the listener roundtable. Get some people on the line. Talk back and forth a little bit. All kinds of things happen here on End of Days. because this is the end of days indeed. So usually during this part of the show, I'll start off by talking a little bit about what's going on in the world. The news, right? What's happening? What's everybody up to? What's everybody talking about? What are the hot topics, right? We got to cover the hot topics. What's on everybody's mind? The stuff that people care about. We don't just talk about conspiracy stuff on this program. We don't just talk about what's inside the rabbit hole or the rabbit's hole, however you like to say it. We talk about what's really relevant during this time. It's just a short part of the show. It's not, you know, it's just what, 5%, if even? So that's not what this show is about. But we talk about what's going on. Because this is a radio show, and that's what you do. People want to talk about and listen to what's going on. And it seems that the biggest thing that everybody's talking about right now is still Donald Trump. It's still Donald Trump. And the latest thing is pretty weird. It seems that he has been messing around with some porn star named Stormy Daniels. And his campaign team gave her a bunch of money, might have threatened her or something like that. He's saying it's not true. But this story that she gave in this interview, it's so creepy. It sounds fake. It sounds completely made up. But it's really creepy. It seems like it's meant to embarrass our president, Mr. Trump. The part about he was talking about what a big man he was and all his success and wealth, and she told him, "Does that work on all women?" And then he got embarrassed, and somehow it turned into him bending over and dropping his pants and her spanking him with a rolled up magazine? Yeah. First off, I don't think that this is true. That's freaking weird, right? I just don't imagine a conversation actually happening that way. I can't. When I hear that, it sounds like some made-up lie, like something somebody would made up. So it sounds like something somebody would make up, right? Like this wild scenario. It sounds like one of those letters that people would write into Penthouse, but those letters were actually fake. That's the way that it sounds. It sounds like something some dummy porn star lady would come up with. And she obviously has no respect for herself, considering what she's doing with her life. She obviously has no shame, and she's choosing to air this dirty laundry in front of America. I'm sure that she's being paid by the left, obviously. I mean, why would she be doing any of this? Why would she be trying to embarrass our president to such a high degree? I can't help but find that to be a little disgusting. I mean, why? If that really happened, it's bad enough that that even happened. But why tell this disgusting story to the whole country? And not only humiliate yourself, but humiliate somebody else that happens to be the president? Is she hoping for book deals? Is she being paid under the table? Probably all of those things, right? And it's really sad. It's sad that we're having an issue like this with all of the Me Too stuff, the you know, the legitimate cases of these men in powerful positions either outright assaulting women or coercing them into compromising sexual situations. It's terrible. It's terrible. And it's terrible that so many fake sort of things are popping up because of that. Obviously, the majority of them are real, which is sad. I think it started with Bill Cosby. and we're getting a little off track here. Charlie Sheen. There's a whole long list. Like, I tried to come up with all of these guys that were getting in trouble for sexual harassment and put them, like, all in order, like a family tree or a lineage chart, but I got too confused and I just forgot all the names. But it seems to be a big deal nowadays, right? Like, you constantly hear of these stories coming forward, and it's just so shameful, and these guys, they bury their heads in the sand and hide away and, you know, try to just... Oh, somebody's calling. Hello?
Hello.
Hey there, buddy.
What's going on, Daniel?
Not much. Just talking about this story in the news about President Mr. Trump and this former porn star Stormy Daniels.
Well, that's what caused me to call in, or back in, was I know people are disgusted, but I'm like kind of proud of the president.
You're proud of him?
Yeah, see, 2006, there's all these girls around. He's the number one show in the world. He brings a magazine out. He says, hey, ladies, have you seen me on the cover of the number one magazine in the world? And Stormy Daniels, the big boob blonde, is like, oh, Miss you, Trump. She smacks him on the ass with the fucking magazine. He didn't take his shorts off. That's what I heard. What's wrong with that? The president of Viral Man?
Yeah, I suppose that.
I mean, it could be a lot worse. I wouldn't go. Just hey, down to the strip club and screw some girl. I don't think he did either. He took a picture. She had him in a compromising. Smack your ass, Mr. President. That's not a horrible-sounding thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot of people are doing that. They're trying to set each other up, and, like, you could get on the internet with a girl, and she's saying, ooh, show me your penis. Come on, Big Daddy, show me your penis. And you're like, you're finally like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show her my wang. And you pull it out, and then she saves the video or she saves the picture. Next thing you know, she's demanding money or she's just putting it out there just to hurt you.
Wow, yeah. I got friends, you know, over the years that were on the internet that are like, when the social media was young, before we all, you know, learned that they're just screwing you the whole time. I knew they were screwing you the whole time. But I had friends that like, oh, it's a real girl. She's interested in me. I'm like, that's not a real girl. No, she's from Malaysia. She lives on a tropical beach. Look how beautiful she is. I'm like, that's not a real girl.
Yeah.
Look at the English. It's not proper English.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of that, too. A lot of these dating websites, most of the profiles on there are fake.
Yeah, it's 60%. No, let's say 75%, this is my guess, is AI. It's bots.
Yeah,
and
that's...
then Daniel, your guest talked about some pretty potent topics. Part of it, the AI, what we know about what they're doing, what they've allowed to do. And they've left all our computers open in the back door so anyone in the world can spy on you, let alone them.
Yeah, this is true. So, they've actually, like I was talking with Greg, our guest tonight, I remember back in the 90s, and I know you and me, we've had this conversation many times, and I've said this probably a million times to you, but back then when I was a kid, they were talking about Project Echelon, and they were listening into every single word that we'd say. And this was back then, before they even had any of the computers or anything like they have now.
is like ancient history. And then what they're doing there, but now, Daniel, it's so you, everyone has to have a smart meter, Daniel. Wi-Fi, electronic signals coming through your walls. Man, they got a 3D picture of you.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, we could go really down the rabbit hole here and talk about some of these patents that exist in the registry for mind control devices, devices that are designed to stimulate those parts of the body and the brain that control our thought processes and our emotions and our moods and things of that nature. And of course it works. It works just like a drug, just through different means. And this is some powerful stuff. They can not only see what you're thinking, but also control what you're thinking.
Yeah, we talked about that V2K. There's so many technologies. All of our embassy was cleared out in Cuba because 40 people claimed to be being hit by freaking beams that are just driving them out of their minds.
Yeah, exactly.
That was in the papers all across the United States.
Well, on the last show we did, our Patty Lee, she talked about how some of these weapons, you could just order them on the internet.
Ooh, that show's so good. And I like your title for the show, Under the Skin.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they are. They're digging in under the... taking your joints out. How cold-blooded is that? Like, take your knees when you want to run around, play basketball, run in the sun.
You know what it is, Todd? You know what it is it's so frustrating because it's like, I just wish I was Superman and I could just end all of this personally and be everybody's hero and go and shut down the Illuminati and they'd try to stop me with tanks and I just blow them away. And yeah, I wish it was like that.
It is though, because if you're still sitting here breathing, they haven't killed you. And there is still hope for the world. And we live in the United States, where it's the most glorious, beautiful country on earth, where the sun shines all the time, at least for
Todd,
the moment.
Do you work tomorrow?
Yes.
So you stay up late talking to me here on the show, and you probably don't even get all your sleep?
Only when you're having a show. I'm like, oh, Daniel's having a show. Fuck, I gotta stay up.
You must have a hell of a time the next day.
That's Daniel, I live on the wheel that goes round and round and round. The same thing over and over. It's okay. It's good. I'm blessed.
Yeah, definitely. It's just I feel bad because you probably have to go to work and you're probably shit tired.
Oh, fuck work. On occasion, you have to say fuck work. I mean, as far as I'm going to stay up for two more minutes and listen to the end of days radio because that's the coolest shit going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I had to just raise a deeper couple more points because your guest, he's right there. I like you kept the possibilities open. Go one step deeper.
Hey, Todd, you got time for a news story? Do you have time for some news?
Oh, please, tell me a news story, because I waited up all night for your show.
Okay. This is from the Baltimore Sun.
My friend said, God, how late's this show go? I'm like, well, it could 5 hours. He's like, there's no way.
Yeah, not tonight. I got to wake up early to do another show, so it's going to be extended, but tonight, not going that late, definitely. But let's move on and cover this story. This is from the Baltimore Sun, and it says, please. Yes, a Chinese space station is about to plummet to Earth. Here's why you don't need to freak out. So this Chinese space station known as Tiangong-1 is expected to fall out of the sky, but most of the 18,740-pound space lab likely will burn up in the atmosphere, experts said, but not all of it. Between 10% and 40% of the station's mass probably will land somewhere on the planet. As of now, nobody knows where. Even predictions made 24 hours in advance about where the space station debris might wind up could be off by thousands of miles, said William Ayler, a researcher at the Center for Orbital and Reentry Debris Studies at the Aerospace Corp in El Segundo. Well, he says, don't worry. The chances of Tiangong-1 causing serious injury to anyone on Earth are extremely small. But I see this picture here, and it's showing the space station, but it's not the actual space station. It's a CGI depiction of the space station.
Yeah. And I've looked into that Tiangong-1.
Uh-huh.
They call it the Heavenly Palace. It's so big.
Oh, really? I didn't even know the Chinese.
They called it the Heavenly Palace.
I didn't even know the Chinese had a huge space station like this.
Oh, yeah. It's been watching us and everyone else. You know that Judas Priest song? Electric Eye in the Sky. Well, China has one of those, too. But that's coming down, and it weighs a lot. It's been there a long time. They say only one person's been killed, Daniel, in the whole history of satellites, and even though there's thousands of them up there and they fall all the time, only one person's been hurt but not killed. They say only one person got hit by a piece of debris, but no one's ever been killed. Totally safe thing, thousands of satellites flying above our heads.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me is, I hate to always go back here because I know it annoys the crap about a lot of listeners out there, but I'm looking at these pictures, and once again, they're all artist depictions. Why can't somebody just take a picture of it?
I hate that part. Why can't they show you a picture of the satellite?
Yeah.
How about they show a picture from the satellite of the Earth. No, it's always airbrushed.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. You,
it's horrible.
Yeah, you have all of this stuff that's supposedly in space. Why can't it take pictures of each other? Why can't one satellite take a picture of another? Or why can't an astronaut pop out of there and take some cool pictures? And why is it always...
Or their high-tech telescopes on Earth can't take a crystal clear picture of the shuttle or the frickin' space lab or the... Right, Daniel? You know these giant telescopes?
Yeah, I...
They can't give you a clear picture either. It's all CGI, and then you go, well, why would they do that? Because they didn't do it?
Yeah, well, it's really hard to say exactly why they're trying to do this to us, but I can't help but be disturbed by it because I love all that space stuff. I love Star Trek and Star Wars and all of that stuff.
I want to go to the outer reaches too and meet the Anunnaki, but not really. No, I'm just teasing on that. Man has to leave the Earth. Arthur C. Clarke, all these science fiction writers, Jules Verne. Where is our Earth going? Daniel, are they going to liberate us like the old science fiction novels? Or are they going to enslave us like the ancient civilizations all were?
Well, here's what's curious about that. Those guys, they were writing about this stuff before we actually even went up there.
Well... The up there's always been there, you know.
Yeah.
The moon.
Yeah, it's always been up there, but it kind of makes you wonder, is all of this space exploration stuff, is it kind of coming from the fantasy world?
Well, all the Masons involved putting the Masonic Lodge on the moon or whatever, that's a weird story. You know how there's some weird, the astronauts are all involved. They put a lodge on the moon. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you would think that if you're actually up on the moon, the moon's much larger than any state or anything like that. So if you're actually up there, you should be looking into vast expanses of territory. You should see caverns. You should see a landscape as far as the eye could see. But if you look at those moon landing videos, it all seems to drop off at about 15 feet.
What I think is weird is all the people involved in that are members of a Masonic lodge.
Yeah, that's disturbing as well.
I think it's weird.
And in the poses
well,
they do,
be
in
a member of this, come on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah,
in
the, mm-hmm. in the pictures that they take, they actually are doing Masonic poses while they're holding the flag.
So, you know, I know George Washington's a Mason. Great actor. George Washington was a Mason. Many people were Masons. Yay! Good Masons, bad Masons. You know, so that's not where the power lies. Well, but it was at times.
Yeah, the reason why that is because they came to the New World. And this was supposed to be the New World. And that's why it's called the New World Order, because it's all about creating a new world. And the agenda that's going on nowadays was still going on back then, or, I mean, previously it was going on then. So because of that, what we saw going on when this country was being explored and settled, that tied right back to all of those secret societies and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what it is there's a faction that ensues riots and overthrows countries and governments, and it's the rebellious faction. That's what your guest earlier was talking about, was the lodge in Paris, the Masonic lodge in Paris. Was the one that got the bad reputation. During the French Revolution.
What do you mean?
The Masons.
They had a bad reputation.
It was during the French Revolution, it was the Masons, the Masonic lodges in Paris that were got the worst reputation because they did all the executions.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They were wild Masons.
Yeah, they were. Weren't they behind that whole thing, the French Revolution?
Totally. And they're like, we're going to get these leaders that have been screwing us forever. Yeah, and everybody went, yay! You know how we talked about that, Daniel?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I was saying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you that they're going to do to us in the future. They're going to take all these leaders of the Illuminati and all these various factions and the Hillary Clintons, and they're going to hang them all
and
in front of
happened,
us.
And what happened was the worst thing you could imagine, because everybody started getting hung.
Yeah.
On the French Revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
It turned out bad.
I think that could happen again. Like, they could take all these Illuminati people that we're trying to fight against, and they could hang them right before our eyes, and we'll think it's all over. We'll think that we won, but then something's going to take over that's even worse.
Well, at one point in time, they did that as a political gimmick, that the people were satisfied. Yeah, right on. We can move on now to our next corrupt system.
All right, Todd, it looks now, like we've been going a little while. I'm going to have to cut this show a little shorter because I got to do one in the morning. So I'll talk to you later.
No, great show, Daniel.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Todd the Bod coming at us from the salty state of Utah, where the Mormons play. So... Now is probably a good time to read a letter from a listener. This is from Jackson. He says, Daniel, are you mad, bro? Question mark. Why so serious? Question mark. I didn't know that I was mad. I don't think that I'm mad, am I? Am I mad? I guess I'm kind of mad. I am mad at the Illuminati, and I am mad at the people out there that oppress others, whether they're Illuminati or not. I'm mad at them. I'm mad at the state that the world is in. I'm mad about all these stupid people on Twitter talking all of this bullshit, all this stupid crap. Like, you could tell it's all a psyop, and they're just buying into it. I hate that shit. All these people around me that are buying into the mind control, and they're believing it, and they don't even question it, and they just take it as fact, like the dumb little sheep that they are. It drives me crazy. I just want to slap them and say, hey, wake up, wake up, you must wake up. But I can't do that, because I would be arrested or even beaten up if I do that to the wrong person. So I get frustrated. Yeah, I get mad. And it's not just that. It's just I get sick of this world sometimes, mainly because of the state that it's in. Like, I remember growing up in school, and people were pretty freaking stupid. Like, it was all about your petty little social class at the time, like where you stood in the hierarchy. And it's the same way in the adult world. It's all about how much money you have and what you can do for me. It's really disgusting. And I hate being part of all of that. This greasy, slimy, materialistic, dark energy vampire pyramid of assholes that are all feeding off of me. I hate that. I hate having to work endlessly so I can have so little. This society and the way things are set up, it sucks. I mean, yeah, we have access to a lot of things here in America, and there's a lot of spoiled little brats out there that go around talking a lot of smack without the life experience to back it up. But it's not like it is here everywhere. There are some places out there that are really in a bad state. There's people that are just getting bricks thrown at their heads and cut with broken bottles. There's people that are starving to death. There's all kinds of bad things going on, and I totally get that. And I find it to be disgusting that in some way we're feeding off of them. Like those people in those Chinese factories that make our shoes and make our iPads and our iPhones. Well, I'm using the iPads and the iPhones and wearing the shoes, and that makes me feel like shit even more. I'm not saying I'm going to give it up. I'm not some freaking hippie weirdo. I'm not going to stop eating meat either. I love meat. I think it's delicious. Am I yelling? I guess I am mad. Let's move on. I did see a great tweet from Donald Trump. Let me see if I can't find it. I thought it was pretty inspiring. You know, I like to be as realistic and honest about Trump as possible. I'm not some Republican or right winger, but I support the president. I think he's a guy that he's a little bit closer to a real person than a lot of these politicians. He's a celebrity. I think that makes him a little bit more removed from the typical slimeball politician. And he said today on Twitter, let's see, the Second Amendment will never be repealed, exclamation point. As much as Democrats would like to see this happen, and despite the words yesterday of former Supreme Court Justice Stevens, in capital letters he writes, no way, period. We need more Republicans in 2018 and must always hold the Supreme Court. Now, I don't really care that much about the Republican thing, but I do like the fact that he's standing up for the Second Amendment. It's good to see a president of our country actually standing up for our Bill of Rights and taking it seriously and telling us that he's going to protect it. That is inspiring, regardless of how you feel about the guy, whether you hate him, you love him, whatever. I find that to be inspiring. And I'm sorry if that makes you hate me or it makes you think that I'm stupid. I'm just being honest. Also, And I know a lot of people, they think that it's dumb for me to give my opinion, like I'm going to alienate large swaths of the audience. You know what? If you think that way, you simply don't know what you're talking about. People want to listen to somebody with an opinion, not some boring fence rider who really has nothing to say and just sucks everybody's dick all the time. That's boring. People want to hear an opinion that they can either polarize for or against. They don't want to sit here and listen to the same shit that everybody says, that all of their friends say at work. You know, you bring up a hot topic, a controversy, and they all get quiet because nobody wants to be that guy with an opinion. Also, what's kind of funny is I've been getting more and more calls just throughout the day. I think the app for Skype is connected to my cell phone, so people are listening to old replays of the show and they're calling me. They're trying to call in, and it's just funny. If you do that, at least leave a message. Like, say something funny that I can play on air, or talk about the show, or leave a comment, or something. I want to start doing that. Leave me messages. Call in. What's that number again? Call in at 209-348-9810. 209-348-9810. Or add NinjaShoe777 on Skype. And if you call me and I'm not on air, leave me a message and say something. Give me something. Don't just hang up. And of course, there is the... I'm not sure if I should save this topic for next time. I had this whole thing I wanted to talk about. There was this crazy sort of story that I read, and it's about these murders that happened in Scandinavia, and they were centered around heavy metal music, and it's really some dark yet fascinating shit, and I wanted to talk about it, but I think I might save it for tomorrow because I want to prepare a little bit more, so I suppose stay tuned for that. Like I said, I can't go that long tonight. And I still haven't done a mind-blowing moment of the day. So, you know what I'm going to do? Because I do have to cut this kind of short and rush through things a little bit. I'm just going to kind of, instead of saying this is the exact moment of what Greg said, I'm going to say that the mind-blowing moment, or the thing that was really mind-blowing for me, my biggest takeaway from that discussion was the stuff about Babylon, because every time I start this show, I say, from the broken ruins of Babylon. And I've been doing that for like, what, 5 years or something like that? How old am I? Yeah, long time. I really went from boy to man in that period, where I was already a man. I turned into an older man. But it just draws it all together when you think about it. Babylon the Great, in all its splendor, with all of their incredible civilization and army and their magic and their knowledge and their wisdom. It's pretty amazing when you think about it that we might actually be doing the same damn thing that those people were doing back then, just messing with all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't be. Like this CERN. Once again, everybody go watch an anime called Steins Gate. Watch it on Crunchyroll. Order the Blu-ray. Do whatever you have to do. Watch this show. Even if you're not into Japanese anything, or you're not into anime or manga or anything like that, watch it anyway. Because this is like all about CERN. So, I kind of went off track there, but seriously, it's some cool shit. Also, in the news, I did want to talk about this a little bit. I guess a lot of our factories here in America have been closed by the Chinese. They're doing so much of the production now, and so much cheaper, that there's hardly any factories left in this country. And that's not good, because you take those jobs away, you take that labor away, and what you end up with is just a whole population of people that are far more desperate to find work, and they have to take shitty jobs because you can't get that cool job at the factory anymore. And that sucks. That's something that we should all be concerned about. I mean, all jumping down the rabbit hole type of thinking aside, there are ground floor level things that we need to think about. Like, cousin Billy needs a job. My neighbor needs a job. This homeless guy over here needs a job. All the talking about reptilians and stuff like that all day is not going to get that guy a job. We got to figure out some real world solution to help this guy out. Now, there might be an occult side to it, because maybe he's a homeless guy that's talking to demons. Then we might have to perform an exorcism, get the guy cleaned up, sprinkle some holy water on his ass, and get him back in tip-top shape. So there is a connection there. But we do need to do something. And that's what's really important. All right, you guys. I've went way over what I was supposed to do tonight, as usual. I just had to sit here and keep running my mouth. So I'll see you guys in the morning. I'm going to get rested up. I'm going to go lay in bed. I'm going to play a little jerky jerk with my pepperoni stick. I'm just joking. You guys know I don't do that. I'm not some kind of pervert who touches himself. That's a sin. It makes your palms grow hairy. It makes you go blind. I can't see. Oh my God. Well, you guys, first of all, I love you guys. You listeners out there, you are the ones that keep this show going. You hardcore fans, those friends of mine out there that listen to this show time in and time out, you guys, truly, you are the wind beneath my wings. I love you. And I hope that you continue to join me and continue to fly with me through the night aboard this beautiful black shiny spaceship we call the Black Ship, as we cruise stealthily through the void, just us all alone, reflecting on our true nature as we drift and we drift and we drift. It's just you and me and you, as we drift along, we absorb the light of a dying star. Oh, it's so magical. But seriously, I'll talk to you guys in the morning.
All is not lost, but Fuck yeah.